Matters. Tomorrow's news today.
Incredible time to be alive. It is Wednesday, April 8th, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, broadcasting worldwide. All right, there is a lot of confusion going on about what exactly is happening with this two-week ceasefire between Iran and the United States. Israel said last night that, you know, they're going to keep bombing Lebanon and Iran. And so Iran started shooting missiles back at Israel. And then Fox News spun it that Iran had broken the ceasefire deal. I'm not siding with Iran. I'm watching this happen in live time. It's not debated. But Fox News and others that are pro-war are targeting people that are low information viewers. And it's so ridiculous when you're just dealing with facts and people, not just Fox News, but influencers and people, they want to just believe whatever delusional crap they want. Last night, this morning, oh, look, Jones, you said Trump was about to commit war crimes, and now they made a deal, and this is a great victory. Is that why Netanyahu and Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin are freaking out? No, this is a terrible repudiation of Israel and the war. Iran has basically gotten everything it wants in the agreement because Trump was desperate to open the Strait of Hormuz. This is a huge black eye to the United States. I'm glad that Trump didn't engage in increased war crimes or, quote, destroy entire civilization. But this thing, 39 days in, is a total and complete disaster, and we have been right about it. But you've got one group of pro-war people saying this is a great victory and everything's fine, even though the ceasefire has already fallen apart. You got other people, the Israel First warmonger, Greater Israel Lobby, saying that this is a total disaster, which it is. But it's a lesser disaster than Levin last weekend calling for Trump. Well, the Pentagon says it might kill 100,000 U.S. troops to take Iran. Let's just use nukes. And then Trump says, I'll obliterate your whole country, your whole civilization. It'll never come back. The definition of genocide. Experts go, that sounds like nukes. And they go, oh, you're crazy. Nobody wants to use nukes. No, you just have part of the Pentagon pushing nukes. You've got Israel pushing nukes. You've got Israel top Knesset members and the top deputy of Netanyahu on TV saying days ago, we want to use nukes. When you say we'll destroy your whole civilization in one day and you'll never come back from it, what is that? And the Pentagon's like, oh, we got things worse than blowing up your bridges and your power plants. Well, what is it? Well, we're not going to tell you. But believe me, you don't want to know. And J.D. Vance saying the same thing. So I shot a video this morning at 7:30 and posted to X, and said, the ceasefire is not holding. This is a major strategic defeat for the United States. We were induced into this by Israel, but it was the lesser of evil decisions that could be made. And then the average American can't even figure out what's real because Trump's all over the map. And we also have Trump now saying, oh, the deal that Iran put out that we say we agreed to, we didn't really agree to that, but we've got another deal, but we can't let you see it. I mean, what? This is disastrous mismanagement. But it's still time to correct. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I know you're the big big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's yours.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. It's Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday, April 8th, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, broadcasting worldwide. Now, on this transmission, you are going to get the facts. This morning at about 7:30, I posted to X what I believe was going to happen. I said the ceasefire is going to probably fall through. Trump will start saying that the agreement he made with the Iranians isn't the real agreement, because that's what he's done in the past. Israel's not going to stop. They already said that last night. And then when Iran strikes back, the media will say that Iran's broken the ceasefire. And because the general public is so low information and so politically, militarily illiterate, everyone will just run around and argue about what's happening when we know what's going on. So here's the facts. And I don't say this with pleasure or enjoyment, because this is the tree I was born in. This is the tree I live in. The rest of the world's got major problems, too. I am all in on America and want us to succeed. And having Israel tail wag the dog and get us into this 39 now, we predicted everything would happen. It had been war game by all the major war colleges, by the think tanks. We knew a spectrum of bad things that were going to happen that go from bad to worse. And a one being, you know, bad but not too bad, and 100 being the end of the world nuclear war, this has escalated up to about a 50 right now, okay? And when Trump came out and said we have a deal and oil prices dropped the most ever, 24% in just a few hours, the temperature went down from 50 to about 30. But as soon as the ceasefire falls through, that's already happening, and the strait gets closed again, which Iran just did minutes ago, confidence is lost, and oil will go up even higher. And again, that is the basis of all inflation, and we are already in an inflationary crisis globally, and Trump's recovery plan is based on that. So here's the summation. I'll go unpack all the facts and show you all the clips. This makes America look extremely weak. This endangers the dollar. It empowers our enemies. And so people say, well, then why did Trump capitulate? Which he did. I'll go through it. Because the other alternative of keeping the strait closed is even worse. We were put into a war designed as Great Reset 2.0, as COVID 2.0, to wreck the recovery, discredit MAGA, discredit populism, discredit nationalism operating on its own, to put the globalist New World Order back in charge. That's at the top 100,000 foot view. And then it goes down from there. Israel has its interests, wants a greater Israel, wants to knock out its enemies, but up higher with the Rothschilds and the central banks and BlackRock, they were the final reason the U.S. went forward with this, and the Saudis wanted it as well, and so now we are in a disaster. Now, Nick Fuentes says, and I'll play a clip coming up, that we've lost the war. Well, if we can pull out of this, we got a bloody nose, but we haven't lost the war. But the longer we stay in, and the longer Iran holds on, and the longer Iran wins a war of attrition and keeps the Strait of Hormuz closed, with riots already starting in Ireland and, you know, Southeast Asia and everywhere, with oil running out, Australia, and all that comes with that, Trump either totally escalates with giant ground invasions and nukes, because that's the only way to escalate past this, as Mark Levin and others in Israeli TV are calling for. That's how this works, an escalation. That top general's on to explain it to you. And as this escalates, you either escalate into full, absolute, total war, and the Pentagon says it'll kill at least 100,000 U.S. troops to take the country. And so Mark Levin says last week, and we have the clip, well, let's just nuke them. You see, and that's Trump's brain on this. But Trump over a week ago began to wake up to the fact that this was a trap and even made fun of Levin publicly and said, well, you're bad. You're an evil person. You give me bad advice, but you're nice to me, so I listen to you, even though I probably shouldn't have. Remember that clip I played about 10 times? And I'm talking to people that are talking to Trump, that are in the cabinet meeting. Susie Wiles is freaking out. Vance is freaking out. Trump's screaming at him, saying, no. He told Tucker Carlson 2 weeks ago, Tucker said, this could be a disaster. You're being set up. You got to get out of this. He said, it's going to be okay. And he said, how do you know that? Tucker told the New York Times this. And he said, well, everything always goes good for me. That's not really the case. But Trump perseveres, has good backers. So God has pulled us through on these things. But you can't always just expect it. Just because you've had success most of the time, you're always going to have it in the future. So that's where we are. And Vance was over in Hungary. He was the one getting this deal done. Trump saw the $150 oil. All his economists said, sir, if this even continues a week, the global economy is going down. And so Trump said, fine, make a deal. And I was told last night by people involved in it, I'll just leave it at that, I got a call before it even got announced by an insider with Vance, that, hey, we got the deal. It's about to be announced. If you want to get ahead of it. And I was driving, and by the time I got home, it boom, popped up. I got it like 10 minutes before. And they said, look, Trump has agreed to this, and he hasn't even seen it. And I'm sitting there about, you know, 8 o'clock at night or whatever, thinking, I shoot a video on this. No, I'm gonna wait. But the point is, here's Trump now today, just an hour ago, saying he hadn't even seen what they're claiming he agreed to, and that he has his own agreement. So that's how crazy this is. That's why there's a constant flip flopping and all this going on. So the deeper we get in, the worse. As I said at 7:30 this morning in my first report on this, I think that this is going to degenerate, the ceasefire will fall through, and then the war will then get worse, and I think Trump will then double down, and Israel will double down if we don't put massive political pressure on them. And the White House is admitting, Tucker Carlson, myself, and a bunch of other prominent people going after Trump had a huge effect with the base. Most of the military is telling Trump it's a bad idea. It gave them a lot of support. Susie Wiles, I told you 2 weeks ago, was asking members of the cabinet to push back on Trump. Then she leaked it to the news last week. So there's a lot of people trying to get Trump's brain out from under the control of Benjamin Netanyahu and his little wizard over there, Mark Levin, that literally was controlling Trump's brain. And Trump said so in repeated posts. This is what I think. Listen to him. That was 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Last week, oh, you're a really bad person, really evil. I shouldn't have listened to you, but you tell me I'm great, so I did. I mean, it's like stream of consciousness craziness. So that is the facts. I got a bunch of clips I want to go to right now. But Israel announced last night, Netanyahu, there's video. He said, we're not stopping. We're going to keep hitting Iran. We're keep hitting Lebanon and just some of the biggest bombings yet. Iran fires missiles back. All over Fox News, Hannity, why are they shooting missiles? They broke the deal, even though Israel had just announced they were going to intensify attacks. And again, Fox just can't help but manipulate its viewers. Just can't help but think, we've got stupid viewers. We've got idiots watching. Let's lie to them. Now, Iran came out about 2 hours ago and said, yeah, the ceasefire wasn't abided by. And Vance had said Israel was going to stand down. They didn't. So we're reclosing the strait, and we're going to continue attacking. So basically, there is no peace deal. Trump just agreed to something he hadn't even read so that it would make oil drop, which it did, from $150 a barrel to $98 a barrel. A $52 drop overnight. Now, what's going to happen when it becomes clear to everybody and the dust settles that the war is still going? Will Trump stop his, we'll destroy your civilization, you'll never come back, we'll blow up your water plants, genocide talk? War crimes talk? Because that's what caused the backlash. And a bunch of Republican senators saying, hey, buddy, when you do stuff, you can't call it a war crime. You got to call it something else. We're all for blowing them up, but you don't give the definition of it and say I'm going to commit a crime. I'm going to rob a bank, and I'm going to shoot the tellers when I go in. I mean, it's bad guy stuff. It's super villain Marvel comic. Give in to my demands or I'll destroy your planet. I am from the Bagugian Empire. I am from Cycronia. I am from Mars. I am here. You take me to your leader. You have 1 hour to capitulate or we destroy the planet. Tell me where the rebel base is or I'll destroy your home world of Alderaan. And here's Trump. Numerous agreements, lists, and letters are being sent out by people that have absolutely nothing to do with the USA-Iran negotiation. In many cases, they are total fraudsters, like the official Iranian government. And then Vance puts it out and says, yeah, this is the agreement. Charlatans and worse. They will be rapidly exposed after our federal investigation is completed. There is only one group, meaningful points, that are acceptable to the United States, and we will be discussing them behind closed doors during these negotiations. We were told the agreement was done. We were told they agreed to open the strait, which they did. We were told all this. We were told it was done. Now it's a negotiation. Go back to it. They will be rapidly exposed. I'm at CNN. After our federal investigation is completed, there is only one group of meaningful points that are acceptable to the United States, and we will be discussing them behind closed doors during these negotiations. These are the points that are the basis of which we agreed to a ceasefire. It is something that is reasonable and can easily be dispensed with. It is very much like fake news CNN last night, headline of source that had no authority or authority to write a letter claiming great authority, President Donald John Trump. This was given to CNN, they report, by Vance's delegation. The Iranians put out the same thing. We heard it was a two-week ceasefire. The ceasefire didn't hold. Now what are oil prices going to do? Yeah, people are going to wait and see. They'll probably stay where they are. And now when this falls through, and I think it will, wars are like black holes. They suck everything into them. It's very hard to stop them once they're started. I hope I'm wrong. But I think there's a 98% chance that within 2 weeks, it's even worse than it was yesterday. And a very good chance Trump's going to double down back to his old Tyrannosaurus Rex. Terrible, tyrannical lizard behavior. That's what it means in Latin. And we're going to be there. Unless the public puts pressure and sane minds reach out to Trump, which did get him to listen. That's being admitted to. So don't think your voice doesn't count. When the neocon bots call you a traitor and an Iranian agent or whatever, because you're like, no, you can't destroy our whole civilization. No, you can't make sure they never come back. Remember, we're trying to liberate these people. No, Israel drug you into this and told you to be over in 4 days. They lied. And then you have other people that again, are running around celebrating. The classic little talk radio hosts and, you know, influencers that just regurgitate pure bull. And they're just like devastating 25 trillion, quadrillion, zillion, bagillion, chash beyond God's mind. Trump got him to agree to everything by threatening to kill them all. Great genocide threat. Jones, you're an idiot. See, we were proven right. Incredible. Incredible. Midnight Hammer, it's over. No war with Iran ever. You were wrong when you said last summer that this would just lead to an expanded war. Very soon, no, you're wrong, we're right, incredible, the war is over, and Iran gave us everything. Meanwhile, Iran, if you see the agreement, that Trump nebulously says is inaccurate got everything it wants. And yep, it just came out. Iran state media says Strait of Hormuz is closed again. Iran has suspended the passage. Put it back on screen, please. Iran, this is the government of Iran has suspended the passage of oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz in response to Israel strikes in Lebanon. The IRGC's FARS News reported earlier today two oil tankers were able to transit the strait with permission from Iran, FARS stated. And Trump will call that a gift. They're probably Chinese. We're doing a deal. They gave us 10 tankers. They gave us two. We got the oil. Big victory, big prize, fruit basket, some nice summer sausage in there, some chocolate candies, and some coffee, and some spiced tea. Nice basket. Gonna give them another, you know, another 2 weeks. Okay. So that's where we are. I'm going to go over the plan that the New York Times got from the delegation and from the Iranians, from the U.S. and from the Iranians. Oh, Mark Levin saying more things about me. Yeah, Mark Levin was calling for these Blaze reporters that are warning about the war to all be fired. And I said, yes, fire and bomb anyone you don't agree with. When you die, you're going to share a jail cell in hell with Hitler. And then says Goebbels, that's the Nazi propaganda minister, I could see you as a camp guard, you disgusting slob. Have you paid your bills yet, deadbeat? You mean the fake CIA, FBI-run show trials that'll be overturned by the Texas Court of Appeals? There he is defending the left's war on free speech and calling me a deadbeat and a slob. Hey, buddy, I did hundreds of sit-ups and push-ups today and lifted a bunch of weights, and I hiked 5 miles yesterday, and I am not a fat slob. I mean, what is this thing? I am a fat slob? I've been overweight and kind of slobbish before. You look like dandruff on the ass of a possum or something that crawled out of Satan's butt. I mean, I love, like, can you argue with something I said? I responded to him saying, fire this Blaze reporter that criticized the war. Fire this piece of crap, this slob, this garbage, get rid of him. And meanwhile, he's like, you know, blow up and kill everybody we disagree with in the Middle East. I respond with real facts. You want to fire people and bomb people you disagree with, and you're going to share a jail cell in hell with Hitler. And his response is, you're a fat slob, deadbeat, that won't pay the Democrat Party their $1.5 billion fake judgment. Oh, yeah, he was an ever-Trumper back when Trump was getting sued by the same people, the same law firms. He supports the same law firms. I bet that slob can't even wipe his ass. I mean, look at him. It's like a raccoon or something. But he's so pissed. I got clips of him coming up. Oh, he's so mad. He was calling for Trump. Well, if the military says we'll lose hundreds of thousands of troops invading, they'll die. And use a nuclear weapon. So I love having Mark Levin because he attacks me a bunch. I can't keep track of it. I'll just be going around through X, reading news articles, and it's just like Mark Levin attacking me, Mark Levin attacking me, Ben Shapiro attacking me. I love it because you're Jonathan Pollard. You're an Israeli intelligence asset, in my view. You certainly operate just like one. You're a propagandist. You're the guy that writes the propaganda for Sean Hannity. So you're the mouth of Sean Hannity. You're the voice of Sean Hannity, or he's your mouth. So you're the propagandist, pal. Who's the point man on negotiations? Who cut out our ally? Who has fought by our side? Unlike most NATO countries. So last night and today, he's like, oh my God, I've got the plan. He got it from Israel too. It's the real plan. That is a major defeat from what Trump wanted. Unconditional surrender. Okay, you can have your uranium. It's not enriched this level. We have inspectors. Okay. Reparations, okay, you can control the strait and charge $2 million per ship. You get a million, another country gets another million. That is a major, 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 major defeat. But it's okay, because continuing deeper into it will be a bigger defeat. You got to know when you've been hoodwinked, Trump. You got to know when you've been scammed by the Israel lobby and the weird Christian Zionist fruitcakes, Pastor Hagee. Yeah, there it is. There will be no deal. Let me say it in great and powerful laws. There will be no deal with Iran except unconditional surrender. After that, and the selection of a great and acceptable leader, we and many of our wonderful and very brave allies, Israel, and partners, will work tirelessly to bring Iran back from the brink of destruction, making it economically bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. Iran will have a great future. Make Iran great again. MEGA. Thank you for your attention to this matter. President Donald J. Trump. That was back on March 6th, a month and 2 days ago. Aged very well. Then we got this. Let's do this in Darth Vader's voice. A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change, where different, smarter, and less radicalized minds prevail, maybe something revolutionary, wonderful can happen. Who knows? We will find out tonight. One of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the world. 47 years of extortion, corruption, and death will finally end. God bless the people of Iran! And then he basically gives them everything they want. And then that's embarrassing, so he pulls back from that. Oh, I got the stock market back up. I got the oil down. Okay, now the war's not over, and now there's no peace deal. And now Mark Levin is back in charge. The midget riding master blaster. Remember, I use the analogy Munchkin, everybody uses it. It's a popular meme, type into X. Trump and Israel master blaster meme. That's beyond Thunderdome. It's a little engineer midget, or dwarf actually, that sits on like this 7 foot tall giant mentally retarded man. And so they decide who runs Barter Town, who can win the gladiatorial games. Well, he's got the master blaster, is the two together. Who runs Bartertown? Master Blaster runs Bartertown. And here's Trump, and walking over, a little elf outfit, little demonic flying monkey outfit. I want Trump as the Wicked Witch from Wizard of Oz with the neo-guns as flying monkeys. Give it to me. But there's Levin. He's right now climbing back up the back of Trump. He had to stop and have a few dingleberries first, but a little snack. Little sustenance, little kosher sustenance. But now he's climbing. You also a little moil service on Trump. You need to update on your circumstances. See a little moil work on Trump. Then he climbed up, had a few dingleberries, and now he's climbing back up to his perch atop Trump.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and...
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives still in stores all day for like $80 or something for like $40. We'll be right back. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it.
Stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
So that's the Iranians. It's a lot of videos across the country celebrating, saying they have had a victory. They haven't won the war against Israel in the United States or against the people that run our countries that have done this, but they are winning it, and they control the strait. They can keep control. The regime hasn't fallen. They just have to hold on, and I'm not comparing them to George Washington in their politics, but in 6 years, persevering and only starting to win the last year. It's a war of attrition. They control the most critical energy choke point in the world. For not just oil and gas, but for helium, for fertilizers of all different types. It's ridiculous what goes through there. Basically, the average is usually about 30% of everything goes through there. You pick it, it's going through there. So let's go to a clip. Fox News admits that Israel is extremely upset about this double-sided ceasefire plan with Iran. And then go To clip 13, Mark Levin, very upset. Now remember, the propaganda is either this is a stunning trillion D chess move by Trump, by some Republicans that are pro-war, it's the minority. They're just totally delusional. Kind of modern Q-tard stuff. And then you've got Levin and Israel that say this is a total disaster and that they're screwed and you know, it's our fault. We got to fight for the last man. We got to be ready for ground invasion. We got to use nukes. And I got Levin coming up saying that. That's the reality. So, you know, the bad guys in this really is the Israeli leadership, and they're saying this is bad for them. Yeah, you tricked us into this. Trump's figuring it out. It's backfiring big time. And you don't know what to do. That is the reality. This is horrible. People are like, well, wait, don't you want the war to stop? No, I'm glad it's stopping. It's horrible it ever began. What did I tell you 39 days ago on that Saturday show? All of it came true. It's just been wargamed. So play clip 18 and 13. Here they are.
Well, the Israelis, for what they know so far with the details in this 2-week delay in the war, they're not too happy with the details, but they say it's President Trump's decision to make. The Iranian response was to fire another missile at Israel. It wasn't 5 minutes from the time that Truth Social post went up that our phones lit up with another incoming missile. This missile was intercepted over Jerusalem. The shrapnel came down. We've got no word of any injuries. It should be noted that word had gone out through the IDF that we should anticipate a lot of missile fire tonight, and they have not taken that down yet. So that's the situation right now. Sometimes we see here in the Middle East that they will fire one just to be defiant at the end, but it's also possible that word hadn't gotten out to the rocket crew. Laura?
That's my fear. If we're going to have some kind of deal, Donald Trump won't be around forever to ensure that it's enforced. That's number one. So I trust him. Number two, I don't trust the enemy. The enemy has shown for half a century that every deal it signs, it violates. So what's going to be different this time? What's going to be different 4 or 5 years from now? Number three, everybody says we don't want regime change. Okay, then we're not going to have regime change. So what does that mean? Well, the regime still exists. Maybe not the top three tiers, but the fundamentals are still there. And some strong man will rise to the top, as they always do. So that's a question. The president is up against really unbelievable obstacles. He has a Democrat Party that basically would rather destroy him than the enemy. And that is their focus. Number two is woke right, self-aggrandizing, so-called influencers that are used by the media to attack him and to try and undermine his base. Number three, his base is solid as a rock. 100%, 92% are with him. That's the Republican Party. But there are other issues that nobody's talking about. And I want to raise them because at some point somebody's going to have to talk about it. What do we do to enforce whatever it is we agree to? How do we enforce it? Are we going to have certain a rearrangement of our military? We're going to have another base there. But how are we going to do that? Number three, what about the people of Iran? What are we going to just leave them there? There's nothing that we can do and we're going to wash our hands over that. That to me is morally very difficult. Very difficult to accept. And then what about the proxies, Hezbollah? I was reading these statements. Hezbollah has killed more Americans than Iran directly. Hezbollah is Iran. Hezbollah is firing missiles into Israel by the hundreds still. And here we have a ceasefire that they've already broken. And so, yes, the argument will be, well, they don't have control of this and control of that. Well, if they don't have control of this and control of that, how do we even enter into an agreement?
So that's Mark Levin, or maybe he is just militarily stupid. We know that's not true. He's a deceiver. Netanyahu put out a statement before that show aired last night on Fox and said, we're not stopping. And they're still hitting Iran. They're still hitting Lebanon. They're still bombing and missiling all over the place. Some of the biggest attacks yet. Pull the headlines up. And so Iran's like firing more missiles, and Fox News shows it and says, oh, look, they violated the ceasefire without even saying that they're bombing them. The level of deception. And then Israel attacks first to drag us into this and says, now we have a moral responsibility to go save the Iranians when Israel and our government were giving them weapons and trying to do this overthrow. It failed. It failed, Mark. It didn't work. You and Netanyahu and Trump, rise up. They'll be gone in a few days. We've been hearing that for 39 days. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the mullahs fall. I want to end this war. If that happened, I'll say, wow, a miracle. Still wrong to say you're going to kill everybody in the country. Still wrong to say you're going to bomb their water plants. Still wrong to have Israel running our foreign policy, regardless of whether this was right or wrong. It's wrong to have a foreign power doing this. And Mark Levin and all of them calling for all of us to be censored or taken off the air and calling me Joseph Goebbels. It's un-American. And yeah, the Democrats are sitting back with popcorn, but that doesn't matter because what Trump's doing is wrong. Not just morally, but it wasn't going to work. And then he gives you that lying poll. I can pull up polls for whatever I want, but Rasmussen is the most accurate. The head pollster over there, by the way, he's leaving. He's doing his own thing now, but he's going to be on soon. Mark Mitchell. Is basically 100% accurate, like 99.5%. He was saying Trump was already sliding 8 months ago, which he is, from 56 to 33 now. And 80%+ of Americans are against ground war, and the vast majority are against the war, period. But you heard him. 100% are behind Trump. If you're not a teleprompter, so it's a very sophisticated lie, because you're like, 100% aren't for this. And then he goes, 90% of that in a Republican poll. Well, CNN said 100% of MAGA's behind it. They called some supporters. Job approval's 33%. All right. So moving along here, Stephen Colbert, the horrible poison shot pusher, best buddies with John Podesta, he's getting to score points. Jimmy Kimmel, Democrat Party operative, getting to score points, showing Trump and all the flip-flopping. Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
And it's always 2 weeks. He's like a conscientious employee. He always gives 2 weeks' notice.
I'll be making a big decision on the Paris Accord over the next 2 weeks.
We're signing a health care plan within 2 weeks.
We call it the gold card. And we're going to start selling, hopefully, in about 2 weeks.
So we can just sit down, and I'll do this at some point over the next 2 weeks.
They would have had a nuclear weapon within 2 weeks.
We'll have something in 2 weeks.
You'll have your approval in 2 weeks.
I could answer that question better in 2 weeks.
I'll let you know in about 2 weeks.
You can answer that question in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I think in 2 weeks we'll know which way I'm going.
Well, add another 2 weeker to the reel because it's 2 weeks.
We've got the compilations. You want to see compilations of him? Some are like 40 minutes long. We had that little short minute 10 when we played last week where he says, don't go to Iran. It's World War III. You get Kamala's World War III. Don't go to full war with Iran, on and on. And then now flip-flopping. Or dozens of times, 25 times now, saying, we've won the war. There's regime change. Reasonable people. And then open the effing strait or I'll destroy you all. And then last night, see, we got a deal. It's great. It's all over. Now today, don't believe anything you see. We're going to arrest whoever says that we agreed to this deal. That is the deal. And now he's saying, no, it's not the deal. So they're ready to say, fine, close the Strait of Hormuz again. I don't know how fast wall's going to go back up, but probably pretty quick. Yeah, here's a compilation, just a short one of Trump on Iran and what it would do. Here it is.
If there is no deal, we are going to hit each and every one of their electric generating plants very hard and probably simultaneously.
We're achieving major strides toward completing our military objective. And some people could say they're pretty well complete. We've wiped every single force in Iran out very completely.
We are obliterating that country. And I hate to do it, but we're obliterating. And they just don't want to say uncle. They don't want to cry as the expression goes, uncle, but they will.
The leaders are all gone. Nobody knows who to talk to. But we're actually talking to the right people, and they want to make a deal so badly. You have no idea how badly they want to make a deal. And we'll see what happens.
The Iranian people, when they don't hear bombs go off, they're upset. They want to hear bombs because they want to be free.
For instance, If I want to take down that power plant, that very big, powerful power plant, they can't do a thing about it.
We're going to bring them back to the Stone Ages where they belong. And they'll have no bridges. They'll have no power plants. They'll have no anything. I won't go further because there are other things that are worse than those two.
We've won this. This war has been won.
If I had my choice, what would I like to do? Take the oil. Because it's there for the taking. There's not a thing they can do about it.
Let's stop there. There's a lot of compilations. That's him promising to obliterate everything. It's the compilation we played last week twice where he's like, don't go to war with Iran. Kamala wants nuclear war. Vote for me. You have peace. I am peace. Remember all that? Yeah, I don't need to play it again. You all know about it. And then there's another compilation. And if you can't find it, just make another one for next hour. Because it's now 24 times he said on TV, we've totally won. It's over. It'll be over in a few days. On and on. I mean, do I even need to play it? You've heard it. You've seen it. I'm not trying to undermine Trump. He is undermining himself. Now, here's Laura Loomer. She says, I don't want to negotiate with these people. They're bad. It legitimizes them. Lady, you don't know anything about the military. Okay? Our military told him 90% chance no regime change. It fails. It's a close trade or moves. Our military was right. Tulsi Gabbard, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the vice president, they all told him this. Eric Prince told him this privately and publicly. Couldn't believe he did it. Said next it's going to escalate when we fail. They'll try to get boots on the ground. People said he was crazy 38 days ago, one day after this started. And Eric Prince, kind of a smart guy, was right. Is Eric Prince for the mullahs? Am I for the mullahs? Ridiculous. Preposterous. Do I like Islam? Do I like cancer? Do I like having a broken leg? No. You're like, well, then why don't we blow them up? Because then they collapse and we get the refugees. And then in the meanwhile, we get a bunch of troops killed and the economy goes upside down. Laura Loomer, duh, why we negotiate with them? Because the war not go the way you and Mark Levin think it did. I mean, go back to being paid to eat dog food on air. I'm not trying to be mean to Laura. I've known her for many years, but she's gone completely crazy. And she eats dog food on air for money. You think I'm joking? Just type in Laura Loomer dog food. You pay her $200, she'll eat dog food on air. Yeah, who's paying you, Laura? I mean, we know who is. I'm not going to even go there. It's worse than you think. I mean, she's like a NASCAR. She's got stickers all over. You know who I get paid by? You buying supplements and t-shirts and knives and cool stuff at DollarSealStore.com. There ain't nobody telling me what to think or do. I can't even control myself. I'm not even in control of myself. I'm a loose cannon. That's the assessment of the CIA State Department. And you bet your ass it is, because you can put a gun to my head and I ain't going to lie. Not when lives are on the line. My integrity is who I am. I don't have integrity. I am integrity. And that's why people tune in and they go, why the hell did you say that horrible thing about yourself? Because it's true. I've told you every dirty secret. I've told you stuff I never told anybody on air. This is the truth serum. I get in here and I tell you I've murdered and I am so ashamed of it. 6 children. I paid mad scientists to chop them up and suck their brains out. The left goes, oh, look, he's discredited. He's against abortion, but he admits he paid for them. Before I got saved, real saved, before I repented when I was 18 years old. And that's a whole other story I've told many times, but it's miraculous. And as my dad rebuking me and kicked me out of the house, I just graduated high school. They were already saying get an apartment, move out. I had jobs. I was making plenty of money myself. I've always been an entrepreneur. And I had this very nice 25-year-old lady over who was pretty wild. And she was all swanking around in the kitchen and kind of said some little bit of flirtatious stuff to my dad in front of my mom. And my mom went to my dad and she said, David, it's time for him to move out. Get him out of here. I'm sick of all these women he's bringing in here. And he comes back in my bedroom and I'm out and he's in there and he goes, what is this? What is this? It was a Planned Parenthood $300 abortion. And I said, it's an abortion. He said, stop killing my grandchildren. He goes, you're out of here this weekend. And he went and found me an apartment, got me in it, literally got a U-Haul and threw my stuff out and said, we don't want to have a relationship with you if you murder our grandchildren. And I started having nightmares about the abortions I'd funded at that point. And it was like a black cloud coming in, like a demon attacking Tucker. But it was something like that. You know, kind of just ooh, chills, and you know, God coming down on me, and you better stop. And I stopped it. I stopped it. I reproved myself. And then God said, "You got a mission. You're going to be political. You're already into that stuff. Go do this." And I had this sudden drive, and I basically stopped dating for a while, and had to cut that off. And that's how I got on air at 20 on Access TV and on local radio at 21 and number one by 23 in this town in the ratings and then syndicated by 25. And that's the mission. That's it. But I tell you who I am. Nobody else tells you that stuff. But if God could forgive me and raise me up to fight evil, but I'm not going to lie to myself about what I did. I didn't know I was killing. I thought it was a blob. I believe the lies. But I now know what I did, and I repented, and God has forgiven me. But I didn't mean to go off into that story. I apologize. It's just that the left will air that and say, oh, look, he admits he's a horrible person. No, I did things that were wrong. I was lied to, and then I had already been, you know, saved and baptized when I was a kid and went to church and loved Jesus and felt the presence of God and all that. But I got off track. Let's say that was backslidden. But the next time I got hit by God after that, a couple months after I moved out, I was put on a mission. And then about 5 years into that, 5-6 years into that, I told the story about like the real next level. And this wasn't the Holy Spirit making you cry and the comforter for baby Christians. This was like having a major general or a general give you your commission and show me the future. And I've been telling you since then, 25, 26 years ago, 27 years ago, about what was going to happen, how we exposed the globalists, and we'd have caused a worldwide awakening, and all the things, and how I'd be persecuted for it. I was told that in a download before I signed on the dotted line. It wasn't a contract, but it was a spiritual contract. That's how real God is, folks. And then my mind and my discernment was upgraded, leveled up, and I've leveled up 4 or 5 of the times since then. It is powerful serving God. It is amazing serving God. So when I tell you this war would be a disaster, when I tell you it's a setup, when I tell you it's multi-leveled manipulation, and I'm proven right, know that I'm telling you what I really believe, and you've seen it come true again. Let's go to Laura Loomer. Here she is.
Think that it was good at all to try to negotiate with these people, because now they think that they have legitimacy, that they are, you know, equal partners at the table, and that they are equals to our negotiators here in the United States. And I think that that is a grave mistake. I think that it is a grave mistake to make these terror leaders, these terrorist leaders, these IRGC leaders who are now in charge of Iran, to let them think that they are, you know, they are legitimate actors. I think that it's really dangerous for the long term of our own, not just our national security, but the survival of our country and the survival of Western civilization. I think it was a terrible decision today. I think it was a terrible decision to have a ceasefire. And I do believe that whether it's a Republican or a Democrat who we have as president in 2028, Iran is going to end up having the upper hand, because let's be honest, we're never going to have another president with the state of affairs right now in the world, in our country. We're never going to have another president that's as pro-Israel, pro-Western civilization as Donald Trump. And being pro-Israel doesn't mean you're pro-Jewish. It means that, you know, you support our ally in the Middle East that is on the front lines of combating jihad. And so if
all right,
we
that's
end
enough.
Up
standard neocon Israeli propaganda. Hey, Cupcake, We're 39 days in. Oil was at 150. That'll cause a global depression if it continues, his economist told him. It's a fact. They held on. They won the war of attrition. He has to negotiate with them because they're winning. She doesn't have a basic understanding. She reads off a teleprompter what she's told to say. No need to put her in a straitjacket and make fun of her. It's sad. Laura used to be a sweeter girl. I don't even dislike her. She's very sad. It's disgusting. Zero Hedge is reporting that the Iranian news, and we've got it, it's confirmed, is saying they're planning a strong response to Israel for continuing to just blow up whole neighborhoods. I mean, five blocks at a time, just everybody's houses, just killing everybody. And the news, little dead kids everywhere. I mean, this is just terrible. And it makes the Muslims look like the good guys. So I just cannot stand this, and I don't like being the bad guy. So I'm not going to support any of this, and I'm going to get more and more hardcore against it all. 112 killed in Israel's devastating attacks across Lebanon. Yeah, I've seen the footage. It's just unbelievable. Entire neighborhoods just vaporized. Is that what you voted for, folks? We're supposed to sit here and go along with the new Trump run by Mark Levin. But Levin's getting sidelined for now. But the way Trump flip-flops around, you know, I think he'll be back in charge soon enough. We're going to break. I got what Nick Fuentes has to say about us losing the war. I wouldn't go that far yet, but by staying in it, we lose it. What a strange game. The only way to win is not to play. Huge sale going on right now. It's going to end very soon. You can get methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, the very best, at the lowest price at cost, $16.79. When you're a subscriber, you can cancel it for any time. You just lock it in, and as long as you stay a subscriber, it locks it in at cost $16.79 a month. Medical grade will change your life. You're insane if you don't get this. New InfoWars cooler, limited edition, $199 value for $99. If you're a VIP, $79. And it's got all these free goodies, sunglasses, all this other stuff in the bundle that goes with it. That's limited edition. The backpack, I think there's like 100 of those left. It's about to sell out. We have a rolling sale, Ultra DNA Revival with the NAD, the PQQ, all that. Incredible for your body. 40% off Shilajit caps, gummies, MK Ultra Brain Boost, Atomic Defense, all 40% off. Colostrum and Life Force, 35% off. Iodine tincture selling out, by the way. More's coming in, 30% off. It's amazing. TheAlexShowStore.com. While you're at it, check out the incredible Patriot apparel, the widest selection anywhere at TheAlexShowStore.com. Hour number two, straight ahead.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly, with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high-quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultra Methylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexShowStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
There he is, Michael Savage, joining us at 6 after. He's live in the bullpen.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
So he's ready to go. Nick Fuentes says we've lost the war because we did this deal, but now the deal's disintegrated and the ceasefire is over. But I agree we shouldn't have gotten in the war. As Michael Savage 3 months ago said, he's pro-Israel. I'm not anti-Israel either, but that this was too much to chew. That's what all the assessments were, but now it's happened. But if we continue with the war and they don't magically fall, which I wish they would, then this could be a Pyrrhic victory that ends up killing the American Empire like World War One killed the British Empire. It took a long time to do it, but it did it. Here's a few minutes of Nick Fuentes. We'll go to break and join 400-plus radio stations on their side with Michael Savage. Here is Nick Fuentes, and I overall disagree with this, but this is more true than some of the fake right-wing Republicans saying this was a victory, which already fell apart, as I predicted last night, and this morning, here it is.
Now, this is what was announced earlier tonight, and what's interesting about that is this is a complete and total U.S. defeat. This is an absolute, there is no ambiguity here. It's not debatable. It's not subject to interpretation. We lost decisively. It's like I said, when we got into this conflict, we had about 5 military objectives here, and these were the things we were demanding from Iran. We were seeking an end to their nuclear program, forfeiture of their highly enriched uranium stockpile, restrictions on their ballistic missiles, restrictions on their support for regional proxies, and regime change. Of course, once the war started, Iran seized control of the strait, and so the 6th objective became to wrest control over the strait, or at least open it for shipping. We did not achieve any of those things. Any of those things. There is no regime change. We did not suppress or destroy their capability to build and launch drones and missiles. So they maintain that conventional strategic capability. We did not seize or in any way restrict their ability to enrich uranium. We didn't take their stockpile of enriched uranium. We didn't restrict their ability to further enrich or make more enriched uranium. We did not meaningfully degrade or destroy the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and the regime remains intact. The only thing that you can say that we achieved from the war is that we dealt a pretty significant blow to their navy. Arguably, we damaged a significant percentage of their missile launch platforms, and probably their stockpile of missiles is less than 50% of what it was before the war. But it was not destroyed. It was not annihilated, and neither was their navy. They still maintain a pretty substantial navy, which consists in fast and maneuverable speedboats. They still maintain about 50 tiny submarines, which they use to close the Strait of Hormuz. They still maintain their mine-laying vessels. So the IRGC still has a very small...
All right, let's stop there. The fact is they were able to keep the Strait of Hormuz closed. That's the miscalculation of Trump 39 days ago. And that's what the Pentagon told him, a 90% chance that they hang on, they don't fall, and then they will close it. That is the issue, and he didn't listen to Tulsi Gabbard. He didn't listen to the Chairman of Joint Chiefs. He listened to Mark Levin, who admits he doesn't understand the military. And Mark Levin, last weekend, called for using nuclear weapons because the Pentagon was saying we could lose up to 100,000 troops taking over Iran. We'd take 500,000, probably. Make Vietnam look like a cakewalk. And so Mark Levin, who always says, well, I don't know the military, but they're supermen, let's use nukes. I mean, folks, this is insane. In all the war games, the nuclear war breaks out regionally, it goes nuclear all over the world. So I'm not a fan of the Millers. Everybody knows that. If they could have snapped their fingers and successful, as I said 39 days ago when this started, that 3-hour Saturday show, I said, I want to be proven wrong. I hope they fall in 4 days like they think. I hope the Iranians rise up. We now know they gave them a bunch of guns, Israel and the U.S. It didn't work. Stop biting off more than you can chew. In Venezuela, I said, it's in our hemisphere. They're in our business with Cuba. If Trump can do it, do it. It was successful. I said, it's a gamble. People got mad at me that I was supporting a regime change for the first time in 32 years on air. But this is different, folks. This is different. I'm obsessed with this. Michael Savage, pretty smart cookie, joins us in 60 seconds. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Are we seeing the earth? You've got it. Are we seeing the earth now? You've got it.
Majority of the hour, the great Michael Savage, a huge fan of his, learned so much from him, best-selling author on every topic you can imagine, launched the modern nutrition supplement Herbal Revolution. Amazing. My grandfather, like 35 years ago, gave me one of his books. A Savage Nation on X, michaelsavage.com. Heavily attacked and censored, obviously, is the things he says. He was on, not the last time, the time before last, he was talking to top Israeli generals and intelligence, former intelligence heads, and obviously they're not anti-Israel, and they said, no, Netanyahu, he's out of control. He's bit off more than he can chew. Israel has a terrible rating in the Gallup poll, and they're not going to defeat the Muslims right now, and they've already defeated the ones that were surrounding him, so just stop. And stop trying to get us into a full war with Iran. He called it. In fact, I'm going to find that part of the interview and have it added in this in post. We posted on Rumble and X today from the live interview. You're watching it. 12:07 Central Standard Time. But I wanted to get him on at this historic moment, and I really appreciate him giving us the time. He doesn't do a lot of other interviews to talk about this and then talk about the midterms, Trump's approval rating plunging, where we're going. Mark Levin, who is the brains, really the guy that writes everything that the wall hanger, as he calls him, Sean Hannity, who, I'm not trying to be mean to Sean, he's literally retarded though. But Mark Levin is the brain behind him, and then Mark Levin completely freaking out, calling for a nuclear war, but admitting this is a big defeat so far for the U.S. The problem is we keep staying in there, in my view. It only gets worse because the Iranians are not vertically integrated. They are parallel, and they've got thousands of people that are related to Muhammad that can be the mullah, and each one you get's worse than the next. And Trump keeps saying, oh, I've got people I can work with now. And then, of course, he can. And now the ceasefire is falling apart. And so this is a disaster, in my view. And, yeah, highest oil, $150 a barrel. Trump says it's over. Drops the biggest drop in history, $52 in one night. Now they've closed the strait again. As I predicted this morning, it's all off. And this is a fiasco. It's like watching a Three Stooges movie, but they got nuclear weapons. So that's my take. That's my intro. Michael Savage, please give us your very well-researched historical take on where we are, and hopefully you can give us ideas on how Trump can extricate himself from this disaster, or do we just double down and go to full war and have 500,000 troops invade Iran? Michael Savage.
Alex, thanks for having me. If I had all the answers,
I wouldn't be here. I don't have all the answers. I have some opinions of where we are and where we should be. You have to understand, and I'm sure you do, when I say you, I don't mean it in any derogatory manner. People need to understand the history of the Arab world in order to understand where we are today. It didn't start with Iran, and it's not going to end with Iran. So you have to go back in history to 632, and I don't want to give people a history lesson, they get upset, but that's when Muhammad died in 632. By 656, by the death of Othman, one of his followers, those were considered the great days of the Arabs. They conquered one nation after the other with small armies of 1,000 to 3,000 men. And how did they do it? Through terror, through fire, through rape, through murder. And what was their goal? I mean, I could go through one country after the other.
Oh, people love history lessons. My audience loves history lessons. You're absolutely right. I mean, this is the Quran. The Quran is a battle manual to take over the world.
Yes, 100% correct. They want world domination. I gave them a new name last night in bed for this show, and I don't know if it's been used before. I called the Arabs the Vikings of the desert because I've studied the Vikings, and I've asked myself, what happened to the Vikings when you look at the Nordic countries? They've been taken over by the Muslims, and the gays and the lesbians are running the Nordic countries. Where'd the Vikings go? I guess they're all the guys with beards that were giants are in the coke business, they're in jail, or they're dealing drugs. I don't know where they are. How did the Vikings let their country get taken over? But if you look at the Arabs, I call them the Vikings of the desert. And what do they believe in? Invasion, conquest, plunder. Just like the Vikings. They want world domination. The Vikings were not driven by a holy book. They were driven simply by conquest and plunder. The Arabs want world domination. People should know that the word caliph, we all heard the word, they want a worldwide caliphate. Caliph means successor, by the way. They want world domination, and they want to organize and subjugate the whole world to Allah. If people don't understand that, they can't understand where we are today. Now, having said that, Iran also should be understood in its historic context. Iran is a conquered, occupied nation. It's ruled, when you say, by mullahs. They're really invaders. They're Arab invaders. The Persians, as you well know, were practitioners of Zoroastrianism. Christians were permitted to live in ancient Iran. Jews lived in peace with ancient Iran. And then they were occupied by the Arabs, and they were conquered about 637, even though they had a great general, the Persians. And again, they were not Muslims. They were Zoroastrians, by and large. They were conquered. And in those 25 years I mentioned, between 632 and 656, the Arabs conquered one nation after the other. And that included Persia. And after the conquest of Persia, can I go on with this a few minutes, Alex?
Please.
I mean, and so after the conquest of Persia and the subjugation of Persia and the conversion of the population from their indigenous religion of Zoroastrianism to Islam, they went on to the next nation. They conquered all of Persia. And then the Muslim Empire pushed far into Western Turkestan. I'm reading from my own notes. I don't want to make a mistake here. And eastward until I met the Chinese. People don't know there are, when you see regions of China that are Muslim, it's because of that, those years of conquest. They then went into Egypt, and Egypt fell almost without resistance to the new conquerors, who, full of their own fanatical belief in the sufficiency of their book, the Quran, they actually wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. Egypt was not a Muslim nation. So then the tide of conquest then poured along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. Spain, that's interesting. Spain is a socialist nation right now. Spain has capitulated basically to the Muslims within. You say socialist, but you're saying, when you say socialist in Europe today, Alec, I think you'd have to agree, these are socialists who have knuckled under to the Muslim population that's invaded their nations.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say that's
everywhere
true?
In the world, the Muslims ally with the communists and the socialists, and it's the Red-Green Alliance.
The Red-Green Alliance. So then Spain was conquered in 710, and the Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720. That's over a 10-year period. In 732, the Arab advance reached the center of France, But then it was stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers, and then the Arabs were pushed back as far as the Pyrenees again. So the conquest of Egypt gave the Muslims a fleet of great ships, and for a time, I'm almost through, it looked as though they would take Constantinople. They made repeated sea attacks between 672 and 718, but the great city held out against them. So then we see the Arabs conquered a vast swath of territory from Spain to China. And what happened next is a matter of people studying the rest of the history of these nations. So what does that have to do with today? Unless you understand the mindset of the followers, you don't understand what they're trying to do. They're not fighting for self-determination. They're not fighting the evil empire of America per se. They're trying to take over the whole world and impose Islam on the whole world. That's their belief system. It's that simple. So where does that leave us? What role do we play in this? Well, look at our own cities. Take a look at New York City. They already have, in my estimation, a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood as mayor of the biggest financial capital in the United States of America, if not the world, New York City. How did that happen? How did the Muslim empire expand into New York City with a vile communist Muslim, by the way, not just a Muslim who has peace in his heart? There are many Muslims who have peace in their heart. This one has hate in his heart for everyone except his own people. He's running New York City. How did that happen? He's part of the caliphate, the worldwide caliphate. You think he's going to make New York better? Take a look at New York. It got worse, not better. Putting social workers on the street instead of cops. Anyway, we know the whole story. So what do we do with Iran is the question. You know, yesterday, Alex, I celebrated because it was coincidentally the day that Trump and I know the ceasefire has fallen apart. By now, it was, we knew the Muslims would not hold to a ceasefire. They never have in history, by the way. You look at the whole history of truces with Israel. Every truce was broken because they break every truce, in plain English. And they always have a reason for it. They hide their women and children in mosques, and they say that the Jews blew up a mosque by dropping a bomb. They put their soldiers inside a school, and the poor children get killed. They use their women and children as bait, as they just did around the power plants in Iran. That's a tactic that they have used. Anyone who's fought in these wars will tell you the same thing. So what does it have to do with us? Why should we be involved in these wars is the real question that most Americans are asking. Why should American blood be spilled in the Middle East? And that's really the most important question, don't you think, Alex, to all of us today?
No, I mean, listen, I know Islam is a political cult, death cult taking over. I know they bought off the West. And so I wasn't going to cry the Middle East fell, but the estimates were they wouldn't. And then this would hurt the world economy and then make us look like the bad guys. And then everybody goes, oh, you're with the mullahs. No.
No,
the way to deal with this is
that.
Shut down the borders and contain all of this and not put up with it. That's the real invasion. Here's a bigger question then. Where do you think this is going?
I'm not a crystal ball reader, but I have to go back to what you're saying. You're 100% correct. But what do we do about the Muslim invasion of America? I know it's an impolite statement to make. This is not a benign movement in America when you see them bowing down in the streets on their hands and knees and blocking traffic in New York City and other cities. What is that but conquest? Isn't that a sort of subtle conquest?
No, it's marked, no, the calls of prayer and all that's not even subtle. It's open pissing on us. It's marking territory. I get all that. I say what you said 30 years ago. Shut down the borders, deport their asses, cut off the welfare. That's the real way is to protect the West and do that and keep the cancer cells out. I'm being called an Iranian agent because I went with the Pentagon assessment that 92% chance regime change wouldn't happen. They closed the strait and now they've been put in a position of power. How does Trump extricate from this? Mark Levin wants to go to full nuclear war.
Well, don't mention that person's name to me. I have a vile history with him. He's a vile man.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's stop there because Trump has put out a bunch of post on Truth Social saying, listen to Mark. He's who I get my advice from. Mark admits he doesn't understand the military. He says, I don't know what to do, but the Pentagon says we can't go in. We'll lose all these troops. We'll use nukes. Here's a short clip of him last Saturday saying, let's use nuclear weapons. And, of course, all the studies show, Rand Corporation and others, that leads to full nuclear war. We can't do that, Mark.
Absolutely.
Here's Mark Levin.
This is a war or a peace mission to stop nuclear weapons that can blow away millions of Americans. Every bit as important as World War II, the Battle of Gettysburg, the Civil War. Over 51,000 casualties in that one battle, about three and a half days. The Battle of Chuttamonga, almost 35,000 casualties. Spotsylvania Courthouse, almost 32,000 casualties. The Wilderness, 30,000 casualties. Chancellorsville, over almost 30,000 casualties. Shiloh, 24,000. I could go on and on.
Why is he reading
this? Horrendous casualties. Crucially important wars.
And?
Now, this is a crucially important military operation, war. Call it what you want, peace mission.
Alex, I can't watch this fraud.
And
please turn him off.
And we ought to be celebrating.
He makes me sick.
Oh, he calls for nukes. Listen. It's almost over.
Unifying.
He's a sick man. He's a mentally ill person, in my opinion.
And urging them to complete the task so our country is safe from nuclear weapons.
Oh,
by insane, suicidal primitives from the 7th century.
So, but you know Mark Levin, you know his history. So who is this guy?
When I was banned from entering Britain, I'm the only member of the American media, as you well know, who cannot enter Britain. I was the canary in the coal mine. Right. You know about that story, Alex?
Of course I know about it. Yes.
Okay. You know about it. Most people don't. Mark Levin went on the radio and said, I got what I deserved. That's Mr. Conservative there. So I don't want to waste my time talking about this empty suit who pretends to be a great genius. What the hell is he quoting figures from the Civil War for? To sound like he's smart? He just likes numbers of dead people? Let's talk about now, rather than this this empty suit that will be forgotten by history. The important thing is, what do we do as Americans today, not what talk show hosts have to say about it, including myself. Yesterday I was saying I was celebrating the truce, and it was in sync with a profoundly significant holiday amongst very, very pious Jews yesterday. People don't know this, where they stayed up all night last night reading from Exodus, where God parted the Red Sea and let the Jews escape Egypt. And then, according to the myth, the Egyptians followed, and then the sea closed in and drowned all of the Egyptian soldiers. So that's the myth of the Dead Sea. The Christians understand that. The children understand that story. But the fact is, it was celebrated last night. And I was saying, it's amazing to me how we're living through biblical times. And I think you, as a devout Christian, despite the fact that we don't know the way out of this at this moment, would have to agree we're living through some biblical history right now. Wouldn't you say, Alex?
Oh, 100%. This is historic, super dangerous, and it's crazy.
So last week, let's go back to the airmen who, one was rescued immediately, the F-15 pilot. The backseater was missing, remember, for 3 days? He was alleged to be, he was thought to be dead on Friday, and then he was discovered and came back to life on Sunday and was rescued. To me, that was a biblical story. It was like the death of Jesus on Friday and his rebirth on Sunday. I was sitting here saying, how much more symbolism do we need that God's hand is involved in some of the symbolism? So now we come to today. Well, what does this mean? We have a truce yesterday. I celebrate on the air talking about it, saying hallelujah. The stock market soars, oil drops. And now today we wake up and there they go. They did it again. They did just what everyone feared they would do. They break the truce. And we don't know what is going to happen next. I'm not inside Donald Trump's mind. However, I think we would all have to agree that Donald Trump, despite all of his flaws, despite all of his bluster, despite all of his inconsistencies, is a man of steel. And he will not yield. Alex, he's not going to yield to them. So what do you think he's likely to do is the question. Will he follow the advice of the lunatics who say use nuclear weapons? Tell me what his options are.
Well, that's it. He needs to make a real deal with Iran, because now they're going back and forth saying they're arguing about the deal. Trump panicked with his $150 a barrel, because that will kill the economy of the world,
that's
not
right.
Just us. And so now Iran got emboldened by that. But by the very nature of the fact that we probably couldn't take out the regime, that's why I said don't do it, because it wouldn't work. I said Venezuela may work. Go ahead and do it. It's in our sphere. And so that's where we are. And then now I think Trump may double down with a ground invasion if Iran double crosses and has already closed the Strait of Hormuz again. So it's a foreshadowing, hopefully, of peace. I get why we should celebrate. But at the same time, if we don't, it just gets worse.
Okay, so before this all came to the truce, I put out an idea on my social media of how about the art of the deal means a compromise. A deal means a compromise. It doesn't mean killing the other guy and conquering everything and take everything he owns. It means compromise. The art of the deal is a negotiation. And in a negotiation, both sides have to get something out of it, right? We used to hear win-win in the 70s. So the Iranian mullahs needed something, right? So I suggested they have to have something in this deal. Let them be the toll takers in the Strait of Hormuz and charge a reasonable fee for every ship that passes through the Strait, and to give them something. People say, oh, no, you can't give them anything. Well, what kind of deal is it going to be? So I don't know whether that's why the deal fell apart. Maybe they weren't given that. I thought that they were going to charge a toll. But then, of course, they asked an extortionist amount for each ship, which couldn't work. But what if they were given a reasonable amount for each ship? I mean, we have tolls in America, don't we? I'm sorry, we have a tariff.
And that was agreed to. They could have $1 million per ship. But here's the thing.
Wait, but we have tariffs. We use tariffs the way they should use tolls, is what I was saying. People may not like hearing that. Trump's tariffs are like tolls, in essence. Do what I want or I'll hit you with a tariff. So if the Arabs see that, they say, okay, we want to be paid for every ship that goes through our territory. Right.
So well, that's the deal. Iran gets $1 million. The Arabs get $1 million. And what I'm saying is, what Trump needs to say, and what Teddy Vance did say, is your military's basically been 90% destroyed. You're rolling the dice. Make a deal now. Stop all the regional attacks, and then you can rebuild with this toll and move forward. But the issue is, both sides, Israel and Iran, kept shooting at each other, and no one's even sure, because, like you said, the war started thousands of years ago. So it's just ongoing. That is the problem now. And so we're all being sucked deeper into it. And I think Iran should calculate, no, in the end, if they make America double down, they're going to end up losing. But it'll be a Pyrrhic victory for us because of the economy.
Trump should have demanded Netanyahu stop the war in Lebanon, period. End of story. That should have been part of the deal. No matter what the hell was the provocation was, they should have reined Netanyahu in my opinion. That doesn't mean that I don't support the survival of the Jewish people. I do. But the Jewish people, even in Israel, are not 100% behind Benjamin Netanyahu, and people should understand that. And 5 weeks ago, I said, is there not a war hero in Israel? A general who fought in combat, who is on the side of peace rather than on endless war. And there are some, and they're called liberals, and they're not in power. So Israel's not a monolithic nation, and not 100% of the Israelis like Netanyahu's endless wars, by the way. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, how could you attack Netanyahu because he's only one man? He doesn't represent the entire nation of Israel. There are 4-star generals, certifiable war heroes in the IDF, who would have stopped bombing Lebanon. Now, why didn't they listen to Trump? I guarantee you that Trump demanded that they stop, and they did it anyway.
No, Michael, you're right. That was part of the deal, that they would stop, but Netanyahu said no. Exactly. Israel's already won. They've got to stop. Biting off Iran's too much. Let's come back and talk about that when we come right back. Stay with us.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very
abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if there's a knife coming back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or sell for like $40. We'll be right back.
What's this?
Oh,
I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive. The two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Netanyahu just came out. I'm reading the quote. We put the video on screen. Iran is weaker than ever and Israel stronger than ever. Netanyahu, there are still additional objectives and we will achieve them. We are ready to resume fighting at any moment. Our finger is on the trigger. They had an ongoing White House press conference about this. Iran state media claims the United States has begun violating the ceasefire and is attacking Tehran. Who knows if that's even true? We'll track all that as it unfolds. But again, here's the deal. All the economists are clear. You get oil of $150 a barrel for even a few weeks, and it's already caused major problems lower than that. It kills the recovery. That's where they've got us. But all their forces, all the Middle East of Hezbollah have already been basically defeated. And that's what Savage said like 4 months ago from Israeli sources, is that it's just biting off more than you can chew. And that's what the Pentagon told Trump. So that's really the problem here. Is now will Iran go further because they feel like they can do whatever they want with the Strait and feel like we're weak because this thing has been initiated. But Michael Savage, I want to finish up on this topic and get your view on what you think Trump should do, because I totally agree with you and where this is going. And then obviously Netanyahu has to stop hitting Lebanon. He's kind of signaling that, but who knows if that'll actually happen. And then big picture, the Democrats, special elections where the Democrats just won big in Wisconsin and other states, where MAGA goes in the future. You've looked at your crystal ball. You say you don't have one. You do, about borders, language, culture, all that. You really laid out the runway. Trump admits this, that he kind of came in on with the main definitions of this fight. And I've contributed as well, but kind of the old Republican guard was just really establishment and stale. It was you and myself and others that kind of launched all this. We're not bragging, it's just a fact. So tell me then where you see this going in the future, what your advice is to populists, to conservatives, to nationalists, to people that want to defeat the communist disease we have in this country. Michael Savage.
It's a lot to take on in one question, Alex, but I'm used to it with you. That's why I like your show. It's a challenge to condense so many ideas into a few statements, but I need to back up for a moment. Having said that about Israel and Netanyahu, I want to address this new Reich that's emerged in the world under Tucker Carlson. I know they're friends of yours, but they're not friends of mine. Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens, they're a pox upon humanity as far as I'm concerned, because they blame Israel for all of the world's ills, no matter what they say. Then they say it's not Jews, it's Israel. They don't ever talk about the Christian slaughter across Africa by Muslims, do they? You never hear anything about that. You never hear about the takeover of European nations or Australia by Muslims. All you hear about is evil Israel from that new Reich that has emerged. It's very deadly because they've scapegoated Jewish people, which is very, very dangerous for millions of people. Having said that, I also told you I'm not a fan of Netanyahu's warlike mentality, which is there's a limit to it. We've heard about his great heroics 40 years ago. How long has he been in power? Why are there no term limits in Israel? This, by the way, is the problem with Israel and other nations, is the lack of term limits. I think what you find out is that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton said that many years ago. It's true in Israel and every other nation. Wherever there are no term limits, corruption emerges because the power becomes centralized. So you asked another question, having cleared the air from my point of view. Where do we go from? What would you like me to focus on, Alex? There were so many questions at once.
Well, I think you hit it. The new power center in what you call conservatism or the populist movement is people that focus on Israel. But now by Israel dragging us into this, you can debate the reasons, it's given even more power to that. And clearly, Candace Owens, I have my issues with her, things she does. And, you know, Nick, it was interesting we have him on for debates and discussions. Tucker, I think, legitimately is anti-war and has thrown his lot in. But he has gotten basically, I like Tucker a lot, become an apologist for Islam. In that vein. So I think it's important to focus on communist China, on Islam, on the left in general that's allied with Islam, and then also look at Israel, criticize Israel when it's needed, but not make it all about that. Because I have guests on, not even those guys you mentioned, but others I used to have on, they can't even talk about other topics. They will just go right back to that. It's like a one-trick pony, and it's all they can talk about, and it is bizarre.
Because it's easy, Alex, don't you understand where they're at. These are shallow people who don't know anything about history. They're not smart. They have an audience now. They found a new pinata to beat up, which is the Jews and or Israel. It's gotten them huge ratings, and they keep beating it because it brings an audience to them. They never talk about the attacks on Christians all over the world by Muslims, as I mentioned, in Africa, for example, the slaughter of Christians all over the world by fanatical Muslims. So I think I would rather move away from that. I think we need to focus more on America right now. Where do we go from here? I predicted the other day that if this did not end, it's likely that Tehran would be bombed, if not nuked, by the way. And I said it would not be us who did it. I wrote it on my own Twitter feed. I said it would be the bad boy Israel that does it. The U.S. is certainly not going to drop a nuclear bomb on an Iranian target. They'll use a pariah nation, Israel. Israel's now the most hated nation on the planet because the Islamic Front has the greatest propaganda ever seen in the history of the world, where Americans have taken their side. Can you imagine a nation that has just slaughtered 10 to 30,000 protesters is now considered the good guy by all of these people who don't see the big picture, don't know history, don't care? So if there is any kind of horrendous decision to go nuclear, and let's pray to God that there isn't, because the next stage could be China and Russia drawn in on Iran's side. Isn't that a fear? I've seen this for months.
Mainline war games show by the top experts.
Well, Iran is an ally of Russia and of China. So it doesn't take a genius to understand that they're an allied conglomerate, that if this gets to a nuclear level, they're going to enter the fray. And we could be targeted here in America. This has to be stopped immediately. Whoever's doing this in Tehran, I don't know if it's Israel or America. I told you, they're going to use bad boy Israel to drop the bombs on Tehran. Since they're hated anyway, they figure let them do it. Trump's not going to do it. So where does it go? You have to stop the war immediately. No matter how you do it, I don't care what. I don't care what it takes. You've got to stop the bombs from falling immediately. Until the bombs are stopped, there will be nothing to talk about. And the world could go up in smoke. This is how world wars emerge. So who's dropping the bombs in Tehran? We don't know. Doesn't matter. It's either Israel or the United States.
And see, here's a problem. Here's a problem.
What's it going to achieve? Tell me what the bombing of Tehran is going to achieve. The mullahs actually like it. It makes them seem like more victims, and it also confirms their own psychosis, which is that this is the end of days. It's going to bring about the return of the Mahdi, the 12th, the 13th, whatever they are. Their new Messiah will arrive only when the world is destroyed, when Armageddon arrives. They love it, the crazy ones. This is perfect.
So let me throw this in, because what you're saying is historic, nuanced, sophisticated, because this is how the world really works. I totally agree with what you're saying. That you kill the mullahs, that makes them more popular. You bomb all these civilian targets, it makes them more popular.
Right.
They're going to hang on. They're going to play the victim. They're going to unify a front against Israel and the U.S. That's why this move was bad. Then I get called an Iranian agent. But then a bunch of the other people that are against Israel and the U.S. are now apologists for Islam itself. So this is a nightmare combination. I can't believe the Muslims are running circles around us. And then most of our viewers are super smart, but when I see videos I post to X or even Rumble, when I'm giving nuanced stuff, they don't even know what I'm talking about, because it's either are you for Israel or are you for the Muslims?
Yes.
And I'm saying it's way more sophisticated than that.
I call the Arabs the Vikings of the desert. If they don't know the history of the arrival on the scene of Islam with Muhammad, and I talked about the history over a 25-year period where they conquered Persia, they conquered Egypt, they conquered Spain. If they don't understand the history, they don't understand what they're talking about. The entire religion is built upon invasion, conquest, and plunder in its most naked form. They want world domination. They want a caliphate, a worldwide caliphate.
And these attacks are making them stronger. So what's the answer?
Well, which attacks are making them stronger? I wouldn't say that. They have no air force. They have
but I'm
no
saying
Navy.
Ideologically, it's making...
Yeah, okay. Ideologically, yes. The liberals have certainly turned into apologists for Islam. And, of course, the people who think they're conservatives are really just quisling liberals in disguise. They don't even understand that they've actually been conquered mentally. They've been already conquered and turned into part of the caliphate, all of these tough right-wingers who quote Christian doctrine, and they're not even Christians. Most of them are not even good Christians, because good Christians would not say the things they say about Jews. So where do we go with Iran? The question is Iran right now. It's occupied by Arabs. How do we give it back to the Persians? How do we return it to a Persian nation, a great people? Can we do that? This is history in the making. Only God knows what's going to happen next, Alex. The bombs have to stop. At the end of the day, I believe in peace, not war, and I believe that peace can only be achieved at this point through peaceful means, not warful means. I mean,
well, we're exactly. Let's talk about nukes. Let's talk about nukes. If Israel, the U.S., I think you're right about Israel, nukes, military bases, or anything, it literally turns the world even more against the West. And so, obviously, that's not the move. So people push. Plus, the emperor had already tried to give up 5 days before Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. The Japanese were going to fight to the end under orders for honor. They got the emperor to give up because Mark Arthur sent a message saying, we're going to hang your ass once we do take over. So that's the point, is that it's the same thing like the Japanese. They're not going to give up.
Right.
And so what do? You expose it. You don't want to play victim. You isolate Islam. You educate the public against it. You arrest all their different operatives engaging in subterfuge. You got to deal with it like that and then not give them the full frontal assault so they can play victim. You know, they teach in colleges and high school and everywhere that the Crusades were a Western offense.
Right.
No, after 700 years of Islamic invasion, took hundreds of years to free Spain, they took millions of slaves. No, it was a response to Islamic invasion. That is a fact.
The Crusades by Christians were counter-Crusades against the Muslim invasion and conquest and subjugation, of course, but that's not taught at Harvard, as you well know. What's the solution to this problem? The only solution to this, there's only two solutions. The first one is a nightmare scenario because it'll draw the entire world into a nuclear exchange. It'll be the end of civilization as we know it. The only solution is to stop the war immediately and stop the bombing of Iran immediately. I don't care what in the world it takes. Who's ever dropping those bombs has to be stopped. That is not going to end this. It's going to escalate and bring others into the war. So whether it's Israel or the United States dropping bombs on Tehran right now, it's the stupidest thing that you could imagine. Killing civilians now in Tehran, that's going to bring the world to peace? Impossible. It won't happen. But, you know, you said something earlier that, of course, I've been saying as well for weeks now. The Japanese would not give in because they believed in Bushido, the art of honor. They'd rather die than give up, the Japanese warrior, okay? And I said the Islamists have a similar mindset based upon a different set of principles, a religious set of principles, and they're also not going to give up. So how did Japan finally be brought to subjugation? It wasn't through negotiation. It was through bombing Hiroshima. They didn't give up anyway. What happened? We dropped another bomb. Truman dropped another bomb on Nagasaki. Horrible. How many civilians were incinerated? 100,000 at one time? Men, women, and children burnt up in these paper houses in Tokyo, in Hiroshima. They were burned alive, incinerated. So now let's go to Germany under Hitler. The Germans didn't want to give up either. They lost their great navy, some of the greatest ships ever built. They lost their great air force, destroyed by our great American heroes. What did they do? Did they give up to Americans? No, they didn't. The Russians had to invade on land, Berlin. 200,000, or I think it's 400,000 Russians died taking Berlin after everything else had been destroyed in the military of all of the other military resources had been destroyed of Germany. 400,000 died, Russians, fighting in the rubble of Berlin until they finally gave up.
Mainly fighting kids about 15 years old, the Hitler Youth.
So when you're dealing with fanatics, it's very hard for we civilized people to understand how to even engage in a conversation about this. I'm not a fanatic, and I don't think you are either. We're strong-willed. We have great beliefs. We believe in God. We believe in civilization. We believe in our nation. We believe in our borders, language, and culture. But we're not fanatic about it. We are dealing with fanatics in Iran, Alex, and we don't understand how they think. We can only project how they think, but they laugh at us for even trying to think how they think. They don't think the way we do. They have no regard for human life, whatever, which is why they'll put military targets inside mosques, schools, and hospitals, because they don't care who gets killed around them. So Trump knows all of this. He's run through this in his mind. Israel knows this. They see it's the end of days for them one way or the other. They may as well have the final battle now before it's too late. We the people are sitting here on the outside like in a peanut gallery just watching the world burn in front of our eyes. We have almost no power over what happens. You think what we think and what we say is going to affect anything? I don't.
But when you were on, it was the time before last, probably 6 months ago, you said Israel's defeated, Moses' enemies around it. It has to stop now. That's what you believed, and other experts in Israel. Why did Netanyahu not stop there? Because he has to keep having wars. He's already been basically convicted. He wants to kill investigations. Yes. So he needs to keep the crisis going for his own personal life.
That's a theory. I mean, a lot of people don't want to hear that. The other theory is he's a great war leader and he's saving the state of Israel. I would argue to the contrary. I would say that Israel needs peace now, not more war. And they need a 4-star general who's a liberal in Israel, incidentally. I know people say, what? You're a conservative? Yeah, well, sometimes, as I've said 1,000 times, a bird needs 2 wings to fly. And Israel's right now had its left wing tied behind its back. It's only a right wing is flapping. And we in America, before Trump came back, had only 1 wing. The left wing was flapping, and we've been flying in the circles.
Well, there's nobody there. In fact, Netanyahu is pretty much a moderate now compared to what's happened in Israel. I mean, we call it right wing. It's like you said, it's very messianic. It's end of the world. So just like the mullahs are out of their minds, they've now gotten the most radical are in control, and there's nobody even questioning in these meetings.
Well, not in the meetings, but in the Israeli world, there are 4-star generals who are war heroes who could step in and save their nation from this path of destruction.
Well, and credit to Tucker Carlson, I don't know if you saw his BB expose, but he interviewed all the former intelligence chiefs and a bunch of generals saying this is what you said 6 months ago. So, I mean, you know,
I don't have to attack Tucker. I attack his ideas. I don't know him as a person. I mean, he was the first guest I had on my TV show when I began my TV show. I was like a thrill for me to have him on my show. And then he changed radically in the 6 months, bought a house over there in Qatar. Well, I don't know what that's about. And he became almost the spokesman for Islam. And I don't even know why, because the country that he has a house in was then attacked by his friends in Iran. Go figure that out.
Qatar.
Right? I mean, yeah, Qatar. I can't pronounce that country. Qatar, gutter. It's a hard nation to pronounce.
Well, let's go back to Trump, because he's 79. You know, he hasn't taken care of himself like you have. When you make statements like this, it sounds like a supervillain, which is a gift to Islam. A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. And thank God he backed off of this, which is a lesser of evils, but then it's also horribly backed off because it looks weak, but that's better than doing this. This is crazy talk. What do you make of a statement like that?
I was shocked by it, because a president should never make a statement like that. I don't know why he did it. It certainly didn't bring any followers to the way of Donald Trump. It's frightening to say a thing like that. And I don't think he actually has anything he wants. You're going to nuke all of Iran, kill everyone in it. You got to kill for peace. Are we back to that song from the Vietnam era? You got to kill, kill, kill for peace. Is that where we're at? I hope not. So, I don't have the answer as to how to stop the fanatics on the other side, as I said to you earlier. I don't know how they think. I have an idea how they think, but I'm projecting a civilized viewpoint upon fanatics, which never works. You know, it's like confronting a murderer who breaks into your house and try to reason with him, getting a social worker in there. It's not going to work.
Well, it's like when I watch the Iranians chant death to America. They're out of their mind. Their eyes are bugging out in their parliament. And then I watch Israeli TV with Netanyahu's deputy and a bunch of others giggling and laughing about nukes. If you're going to use nukes, that's one thing. Don't laugh about it like it's a big joke. This is serious.
Something's
business.
Wrong. Yeah, no, there's something wrong there. I understand that. This is why Americans don't want anything to do with the Middle East. They just had enough of it.
Exactly.
They don't want American boys dying for Israel or any other nation on the planet. I mean, it's as clear as a bell. No more foreign wars. Donald Trump ran on that platform. No more foreign wars. I'll end the Ukraine-Russia thing in 2 seconds. That's still raging.
Yeah, the way to defeat Islam is to have the West come back and Western values, shut down our borders, get back to free market, and be the pillars of the future and win through that and isolate the cancer. Going to war with it this way has empowered it, while the left brings them in record numbers and turns them into victims and they're spending their money buying off our people, it is you've got to outlaw that. We have a horrible Justice Department that won't do it. Any of this foreign money, I don't care who it's from, needs to stop. Michael Savage, people can find you at A Savage Nation on X. Should follow you there, michaelsavage.com. I know you got so many books. What's your latest book?
I reissued God, Faith, and Reason. It was out of print. People are asking for it. I think that after I'm in the next world, whether it's the good place or the bad place, wherever God decides to put me, this and my book on Teddy and me, my dog, will be the ones that outlive all my political books.
All right. Well, hey, anytime you want to come on, the door is open. I totally agree with everything you said. And it's not
Alex, I hope I can come. I hope I can come back in a time of peace in the next few weeks and talk a little bit more about spiritual issues rather than political issues. I would love to do that with you because you're a man of faith.
I agree. I want to talk about big picture and positive things and not trying to stop a damn nuclear war. Michael Savage, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Alex. You do a great job. I admire your work.
I admire your work too, sir. You taught me a lot. Thank you. Well, that was a nuanced, complex discussion. It was all totally accurate, and people aren't even, most people listening on radio get it, and a lot of you watching do, but I see our stuff, people are like, what is this? Well, are they for the Muslims or for, you know, it's just like, come on, people. The Pentagon said don't do it. Exactly what Savage said. This is a disaster. And now the Mullahs are in a stronger position than ever. You're like, well, their military's blown up. Not ideologically. They're the victims now. And they control the Strait of Hormuz. And I think Trump may double down. We're in grave danger. I mean, if you don't have a pucker factor, if you don't have chills up and down your spine listening to this, you're crazy. Mark Levin, oh, just use nuclear weapons. I didn't get the full clip of him. He's like, we use them in Japan and the nuclear weapons. That's what strong presidents do. We have the Mark Levin text messages that are out. And he's like, do what Truman did, President Trump. Do what he did in Japan. He doesn't say use nukes. He says, we know what we did in Japan, Mr. President. The emperor gave up. He'd given up 5 days before. They wanted to test the bombs on Japan to scare the Russians. That's declassified. So we fried a bunch of women and children. I don't support any of this. I absolutely hate the left acting like I'm aligned with them or Islam acting like it. No, I'm aligned with not being an insane person. All right. I'm just too well informed. I just can't be an idiot. We're going to come back. I got all this other news. I got it. There's so many big developments now, though. So we'll get to the latest developments of the war. And then I've got Democrats winning these special elections. I got a bunch of insane UFO news about interdimensionals with congressmen saying it. And there's four species of aliens on the earth. Congressman Burchett and nuclear physicist. I mean, this is getting weirder and weirder by the moment. We are in the twilight zone. A great time of change is taking place right now. Remember, you're the Paul Revere. Share the live feeds on X with Alex Jones, on Rumble, the Alex Jones Show. And don't forget, all those local radio stations you're listening to, please support their sponsors, support them, and spread the word about those as well. Briefly plugging a big sale right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultramethylene Blue, 72% off, despite the fact it's a bestseller. That's at cost $16.79 a month when you subscribe, cancel any time, but you lock it in at cost $16.79 when you become a subscriber. There's only a few days left on that. And other big deals right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them.
Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
I'm holding in my hands
two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasTheStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at DallasTheStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Well, Owen Benjamin is a really funny comedian, smart guy, very popular talk show host. And he's written How to Slay a Wizard, How to Get Out of the Mind Control. That's coming up. But right now, I want to just hear a few minutes of myself this morning, kind of predicting what was happening. The ceasefire has fallen through. They're now saying UAE, United Arab Emirates, Mirage 200 nine fighters have been bombing their oil fields all over Iran. The whole thing's disintegrated. Israel's blowing up Lebanon, promises to continue on. Trump is not in control. This is a complete disaster. You just heard Michael Savage, no fan of the mullahs, saying this war he's in right now, Israel's getting ready to probably nuke. I mean, this is bonker town. Then I saw the neocons on X this morning, Levin attacking me, going, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening. Buddy, you don't know anything, and you've shown that, okay? This is all I do. It's so ridiculous. I've called this all. It was so easy to call. It's all been wargamed. Do you even know what a war game is? Do you know what the Rand Corporation is? Do you know what the Army War College is? Do you know any of that? No. You know how to sit there and get us into a disaster, you idiot. You moron. Let's go to a clip of me this morning. So, did the United States lose the war with Iran? Did Israel lose the war with Iran? That's what Iran's saying. That's what a lot of analysts are saying. Because Trump accepted this ceasefire for them to open the Strait of Hormuz. I'll answer that question. Iran's saying things that aren't true. The U.S. is saying things that aren't true. I just spent a couple hours last night and today making calls, reading over the documents. J.D. Vance, back channel through Pakistan, was able to get them to tacitly accept some of Trump's points. Trump accepted some of theirs, but it's only a ceasefire for now. Now, Fox News tried to deceive everybody, low information viewers, many of them, and so do the bots and influencers on X, that, oh, this is a great victory. Iran accepted all of the points. No, they didn't. They're also spinning it that Iran violated the ceasefire because they're still shooting missiles at Israel and some of the other neighbors that have U.S. bases in them. That's because Israel said last night, Netanyahu said last night, you look at it on X, that Israel's going to keep bombing. And so the ceasefire is only that the U.S. will stop bombing Iran for now, and that they will open the Strait of Hormuz for now. So Iran did not win. The United States did not get its objectives. And I would imagine, I hope it's not the case, that this ceasefire will fall apart very, very quickly. But Trump had such a disastrous response, the polling numbers and from even Republicans in the Congress when he was saying, we'll destroy your civilization tonight. And the clearly definition of genocide will never come back. There was such a backlash that Trump listened to Vance and Tulsi Gabbard and pulled back for now. So this is a pause in the insanity. And bottom line, the Iranians can keep the strait closed indefinitely unless there's regime change. Trump now knows he was lied to by Mark Levin. Now, for all the neocons declaring victory and saying Trump played 85,000 D chess and that we got a peace deal and that's why he threatened them and everything, Mark Levin was beside himself last night. The clips are on X. I'll post it. We're all shown.
saying we basically lost. This is a capitulation. This is terrible. We got to fight for the last American. Because, you know, he's Jonathan Pollard 2.0. And he's just totally freaking out. And so are the neocons. And so is the Israel lobby. So for all of you declaring, see, Alex, it was good to say we'll destroy their whole civilization and apply, we'll use nukes. See, they gave in. No. They came a couple steps forward, but Trump made the main step forward, and now they've opened the Strait of Hormuz for now. So this is just a pause, just like the other Korean War. The war never ended, just became a ceasefire. Well, it's held for 60-plus years. So we will see how long this holds forever. But this is far from over. So obviously, oil hit $150 a barrel yesterday.
There's a few more minutes left. See you on next. I wouldn't predict it. I think the ceasefire would fall apart. By the time I got out of the car at 7:45 at the office, it had already fallen apart. And the Iranians have closed the strait again. That's official. But Caroline Leavitt says they didn't. I mean, I've never seen such disinformation on the White House. It's truly saddening. We'll be right back. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, so Israel continued bombing Iran and Lebanon. Also, no one's saying who's doing it, but Iran says it's the United Arab Emirates sitting in Mirage French fighters blowing up their oil fields. So there are a bunch of forces don't want this to stop. Meanwhile, Iran closed the strait again, which they've been in control of. Trump tried to say in the last month it wasn't closed. Caroline Leavitt says the Iranian reports the Strait of Hormuz is closed are false. But you can pull up the live active transponder sites. Pull up the latest. And it's closed. Two ships went through this morning. Now it's closed again. The Iranians said they closed it. And then we have this original report that Vance brokered. Trump agreed. Now Trump says, I'm not agreeing to that. Now there's a new plan. So no peace deal was made that stuck. This is totally falling apart. When oil hit $150 a barrel, which will totally kill our recovery and more, Trump panicked. Vance, as I told you this morning, people are like, we don't see he's leading it. He officially led this deal. He's now leading the current operation. So I got to have people with Vance at the meeting in Hungary. Okay, last night. I got it before anybody else had it in the news. So I'd love to see this shut down. I wish it never happened. But this at the higher level, the 100,000 foot level, is about the Great Reset. It's about derailing the global economy. It's what BlackRock wants. It's COVID 2.0. I'm the first to say that. Many other economists are now saying that. Kazronos and Fitch, you name it. Joining us for the balance of the hour, maybe even longer, into the fourth, we can hit some other topics as well, maybe take some calls if he does that. Owen Benjamin, known him a long time, used to be in movies, a bunch of other stuff, got sick of it, moved up to North Idaho, he's a popular comedian, podcaster, and he's got a new book out that I can't wait to read as soon as I get some time, and we'll show you that right now. It's How to Slay a Wizard, not just How to Slay a Dragon, and he's not talking about a literal Gandalf, he means the globalist manipulators, and so it's available for free on Amazon. Well, that's nice. And ladle.tv, owenbenjamin.com, ladle, ladle.tv, and at Owen Benjamin on X. So, a lot to talk about. Obviously, we should get your take up front on the Iran crisis, Trump, what he's turned into. I mean, he wasn't burnt before, but man, he's really, in the last 8 months, like a fruit rotting on your table, has worms all over it now. Then you want to get into NASA and the moon mission, Artemis II, nuclear bombs, what makes science special, how it relates to Christianity versus the Phariseeism. What is a wizard, tools a wizard, hypnotic language, weaponized tension, three-stage response, the one lie, psychological prediction, wizard spells in plain sight, what is 4D chess, words and other definitions, people's names, and the Wizard of Oz, and Y. Owen's book, How to Slay a Wizard, is number one in rhetoric. So look forward to that. Owen, great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. And I think my take on all this right now is it's the best time to talk about wizard spells and word magic, because when you were just talking about Trump kind of, you know, falling apart, that's the inevitable outcome of wizardry. Is it the lies overtake people and then they become complete inversions of themselves, where it's actually structured like a joke, which is why my comedic background is kind of interesting for predicting and talking about world events.
Great cover, and I've heard you talk about wizards. You do a great job. I can't wait to read it. Trump, what happened to him, or what do you think is going on? I mean, it's insane. Like, I will vaporize you. I will kill your civilization. You'll never come back. The definition of genocide, and he wonders why people turn against him. What are we supposed to sign on to? We'll kill everyone. We'll kill you all. We're liberating you. Do what I say, or I'll use nukes on you, basically.
Yeah, what I find so strange is the normalization of this wizardry as far as like the art of the deal. Like I'll point out how insane he sounds, and people will say, oh, it's just a negotiating tactic, he's just moving the anchor price, the Overton window, and all that stuff. And it's that comfort with wizardry leads America down the road of low trust, where liars won't work anymore. It becomes actually like very tedious. They become very hated. And my father was a professor of rhetoric, and I studied tyrannical government takeovers in the Czech Republic. Like, that was my major in college. Like, I've been very interested in this stuff my whole life. And my dad taught, he did a keynote speech once in Hiroshima. And we can talk about nuclear bombs. I think that's a great topic to get right into. And I was taught that nuclear bombs have this fallout radiation for billions and billions of years and thousands of years, and it'll poison the lakes and the streams, and it ruins the world. And I remember being terrified that my dad was going to go give a keynote speech in Hiroshima about rhetoric. And everyone was like, no, it's fine now. It's fine. There's no problem. And I'm like, but isn't, what about the nuclear bomb? And that kind of led me down the road of, you know, how spells, control countries and people's minds, and this constant threat of terror of like someone can hit a button and the world ends. It just becomes extremely manipulative, and, people actually get really mad at you when you break the spell because their identity gets so tied in with the fear.
You're talking about boomers in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Duck and cover, get under your desk, showing everybody getting nuked, creating really big fear of nuclear war. Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah, it's trauma rituals. Like, I remember we'd have these little cardboard desks because my town had 3 nuclear power plants. Nuclear energy is totally real. Like, of course, that's real. It's just boiling water, and it turns giant turbines. And they would always say that the Russians were always about to nuke us, and we do these duck and cover drills under our cardboard desks. And I'd be like, if it vaporizes all the flesh in the world, then what's the point? And that cognitive dissonance is the wizardry, where it's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to exhaust you to the point where you'll just do anything someone says. And that's why a lot of these things are supposed to be confusing. Like, when Trump says the war is just getting started and it's over, like in the same sentence. And people have a hard time understanding what the point of that is.
And he also says we've had regime change over and over again. Yeah, you killed people, but the regime's still there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's these contradictory things. And then, you know, they'll do the Iron Man script about the fallen pilot that's in the cave and emerges on Easter and all this stuff. And you're like, yeah, I think you took that from Iron Man, dude. You know, and people are like, so you think it's made up? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the truth is, but
well, there's no doubt that raid was an attempt to grab a bunch of uranium hidden in an airbase, and it failed. So they made it all about a pilot that got shot down in association with it. So you kill one story with another.
Yeah. And uranium is extremely threatening to the global order, and it's very valuable because it threatens, you know, the oil, petrodollar and all that, cause it's phenomenal. Nuclear power just boils water and turns turbines. But like, take, for example, Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You know, I saw the wizard, you know, I heard you talking about Mark Levin. Is that his name? Such a wizard.
Yes.
And he's like trying to get Trump, you know, it's like right out of, you know, Narnia. It's like those witches that are like, strike them down, you know? And, if you actually look at Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki weren't in the top 10 most destroyed cities. You know, America was firebombing everything. Tokyo was far more destroyed. And I believe they quit the war because 1.5 million Russians invaded Manchuria 48 hours after the quote unquote nuclear bomb. And there was only one journalist allowed to report on it in America. He was a Lithuanian Jewish gentleman, and anybody else was, it was considered treason. And so there wasn't actually a higher rate of cancer. You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think that the nuclear bomb spell, as far as like, just wait till your father comes home. He'll nuke the world. Yeah. I posted that. That's hilarious. Like Hiroshima versus Detroit. You know, if they want to switch N bombs, I'm down. Because our N bombs destroy cities a little more than Hiroshima.
Well, we know deindustrialization as well, and liberal policies have put people on welfare.
Well, yeah. I was just being fine. I'm not claiming it's just a certain race of people.
I was just responding. But let's talk about nuclear weapons. And guys, you can pull up graphs showing the power of Fat Man Little Boy. Just pull up graphs showing the power of Fat Man Little Boy versus modern hydrogen bombs. If you look at, and I've seen the graphs. So, overhead shot, I'll just give you, since they can't pull up a graph, I'll be able to do it in a minute myself. Just overhead shot piece of paper, I'll show people this way. It's fine. Just overhead shot right here. So here's the power of, you know, Fat Man and Little Boy. And then.
Such weird name too, huh?
Yeah. And then the circle of a modern hydrogen bomb, you know, depending on the size, would be a circle all around this entire building. That's how much more powerful. Now, these were also built to be clean atomic bombs in the fission process. And most of the ones we have are clean now. They have a thing called a dirty bomb or a doomsday bomb where you jacket it in something like cobalt. And then it is extremely radioactive. That's why Hiroshima or Nagasaki is nothing compared to a Chernobyl or a Fukushima, because that's a meltdown in a reactor. And, you know, I knew a guy that was a submarine captain that ran the government submarine rescue boats. And they just had a small leak, and it killed, and a few years later, killed a lot of people that were around it with horrible cancers. But yeah, here's a graph. Give me an idea. So yeah, they definitely use the fear of this to get us in line. But here's the deal. You know why, in the studies, even with above ground, that there's not a ton of radiation even a few days later, there's some fallout. When you detonate an atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb in an airburst, when the chain reaction's happening, you know, that's the big white ball you see, and then the blast goes down and destroys the ground. That's just a fire blast, and then it rises up into a mushroom cloud. That is because there's no metal that it combines with. But if you drop a hydrogen or atomic bomb on the ground, every type of metal it combines with, not just cobalt but a bunch of others, creates, I mean, just a few pounds of cobalt in a hydrogen bomb going off is like dozens of Fukushima. So I think that's where the confusion here happens. Nuclear weapons are very clean compared to nuclear reactors. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but how do you know that? Like everything you just said, where did you get that information from that cobalt, you know, mixes with all this stuff and gets filthy and magnifies into the mega blast and all that stuff?
Well, they know the isotopes. That's how they can tell where something was made, what it was done, what's melting down. That's how they know when a reactor in France is having problems. Private scientists can show it. They know what the fuel is. They know what's going on. Max Planck, by about 1895, wrote the equations for atomic bombs. And then later, quantum mechanics and physicists picked it up and got popularized as the inventors of it, but that was taken and made, you know, from theoretical to action with the Manhattan Project. But these equations is how we have all the other science, and really the atomic systems are tinker toys compared to all the fission fusion and superconducting super colliders and the particle research that has been done. People can argue with the theoretical mathematics of it, but it's been expanded out and duplicated in much of the sciences we see today.
See, this is the thing you're touching on what I consider wizardry, because science, the miracle of science is that you can independently verify things for yourself. It's very similar to what Jesus's message was to the Pharisee, where, you know, you don't need a special boy hat and bloodline to connect or commune with God. It's where two or three gather in my name. Science is like that, where you make empirical observations, you get a hypothesis, you set up a controlled, experiment, you theorize, and then you encourage your friends and people you respect to rip it apart to see if it works. And over time, it may or may not become a law. The whole trust me, bro, science, where it's like, trust the science, Max Planck, he scribbled, you know, nonsense on a chalkboard. I was raised by academics. You know, my father went to Oxford. I've been around these people my whole life, and it's about manipulation. And you can see it with, you know, trust the science of transgenderism, trust the science of global warming and global cooling.
There's no doubt there's a bunch of lies and it's gotten worse. But, I mean, how do you think we shoot a cruise missile down a chimney? How do you think your cell phone works? How do you think... go back to school. Remember, you could get a chemistry set and put two things together and it explodes. You can go buy that thing yourself and you can do that. I mean, so...
Exactly. That's my whole point. So the what you described as this nuclear fission reaction that creates this like massive flesh destroying. And don't get me wrong, there's weapons that are freaking horrifying. I'm not saying that there's nothing to not worry about. I mean, chemical gas, mustard gas, people puke their lungs up and they melt.
Sure. Are you saying that these above ground tests that ended like in the 70s and stuff? Cause I had family that was involved in that and went out and did it. And I had family that ran Nike missile batteries in Turkey, okay, and people that were at test who were there, and people go, oh, yeah. It was 100,000 pounds of TNT. No, I had family that was there, you know, basically not wiring the bombs, but they were there. It wasn't TNT.
No, I think nuclear bombs do exist in a different sense. Like, I think that they can penetrate very deep into the ground. What makes nuclear bombs uniquely terrifying is quote-unquote fallout radiation that poisons life for millions of years. When we were told when we were kids that there was going to be a nuclear winter where nothing grows forever, and that's when you see the wizardry. Now,
and that's made to make you give up on life, not have children, yeah, be fatalistic.
Exactly, exactly.
Just like global warming and the world's going to end and, yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I'm not saying everything's just TNT. I think some of these bunker busters might be a form of nuclear bomb. So right when I just said that, someone would say, oh, so you just admitted they're real. No, the thing I'm
no, rockets are real, but then the space program's mainly fake.
The space program.
It's like guys that think they're women and take hormones are real, but they're not really a woman. It's like there's some basis in the lie.
Right, like there's phenomenal rockets and there's phenomenal supersonic missiles that can just absolutely destroy stuff. But that was never that wasn't why we hid under desks. It wasn't because they're rubble. And, you know, in studying World War II,
use it for mind control and that's declassified.
Exactly. And so, you know, the trauma rituals of being under your desk is what they figured out is when you survive bombings, you actually get stronger. You know, they figured this out with the Blitz in London, where when the Germans had dropped a bunch of bombs, the most psychologically traumatized people would be over the hill from it, where they could kind of invent these stories in their head. If you actually survive war, many times they would lose the fear of death, and they would become actually very hard to conquer. And so this has been this is kind of like how you get someone docile to the point of giving up before there's even a fight.
No, that's right. You're creating victims. Well, I mean, what do they think killing the mullahs and bombing the Iranians are going to do? They're more pro-mullah than ever.
Exactly. They're like creating what they claim they were stopping. Like when someone kills your pope, when someone kills your family, it's like it doesn't stop you. It makes you almost fearless. And that's why, and I don't mind if we do this to enemies. I actually don't mind that a CIA exists to mess with the minds of our enemies so that we don't have to have a kinetic war. But I don't like that they do it to us. And I'm going to write books showing people because every wizard requires deception and concealment. As soon as you understand how it works, it doesn't work anymore.
Let's start here. Let's define a wizard.
Yeah, a wizard, by the definition, is they require concealment and they thrive on keeping the audience from seeing what they're doing versus, you know, somebody that's just doing rhetoric. Like rhetoric is just the emotional component of a message, you know, but wizardry.
A wizard creates a whole fake world of lies upon lies. And COVID was the ultimate example of that. Premeditated, run by Pentagon Psywire. That's all declassified. Total control to hurt people and just turn us into victims.
Absolutely. And they borrow power with credibility, with charged words. Like, they'll take a word and they'll charge it, kind of like science. Like, science is an amazing miracle, you know? And then they'll start using that word to do their nonsense. They'll be like, well, it's just the science that COVID, that you have to have your mask on while you're walking into a restaurant, and then you get to take it off to eat, unless you're gay, and then you get to go on a parade.
Or if Black Lives Matter, you can march, and it's good for COVID. Anybody else going outside gets arrested. So Fauci would kind of be the ultimate little wizard. He even looks like a little evil leprechaun.
Bro, the funniest wizardry out of Fauci is AIDS. Cause like people always forget that Fauci was the AIDS guy. And if you look at the mascots of AIDS, dude, this is when it just becomes comedy. It's like you have Magic Johnson, which literally means like wizard penis, like a magical Johnson, and Greg Louganis. And people forget that. And so while they were rolling out AIDS, people also forget, and I have this on Lato. I documented all of it. There was a diet pill called AIDS that would, it was AYDS, that they would play simultaneously as they're scaring the world about AIDS. They're like, look at Magical Johnson. And then they'd be like, the next commercial would be like, hey, Deborah, you look really thin. And she's like, it's AIDS. And so I named that polarity seeding, where you get these two hyper contradicting things in the zeitgeist at the same time, because the whole point is to get your mind to kind of start spinning the wheel like on a computer, so you buffer. And then, like, the whole goal is to detach the living man from his own senses and his own soul, and then seek authority in whoever is messing with your head. And that, because a wizard has no power without the living man choosing to give them power.
Well, how is the reign of the wizards going?
Not well, because that's how debt always ends. It's like, it always ends the same way. When you do abracadabra, when you start just creating things with people's emotional reactions, you manipulate trust. Because what made America great is the high trust, high charity, high logos, high logic, where people, you know, trust each other enough where they can help each other when you're down and you work through problems. And I know usually when I come on the show, I talk about farming, and it almost seems idealistic, and I'm this optimistic guy. It's actually very dark. I mean, it's like what I see possibly coming is absolutely horrifying. I just try not to jack people's cortisol. Wizardry leads to absolute famine. And that's what I studied in Eastern Europe in college, where lies get to a point when you're not bringing in the fertilizer. Lies get to a point where there's so much corruption that there's no food in the stores. And most genocide isn't by, you know, most genocide isn't these bombs or AIDS.
No, it's
or
a breakdown
COVID.
Of civilization where there's no trust.
Yeah. And it's atomization. It's people not being friends. That's why I make fun of people. That's why, because when you have that ability to hear something that goes against your identity, because I piss off a lot of people, because their identity gets tied to a wizard spell. And it's not even that I'm going at them. I'm going at the spell.
When you say a spell, it's a false political, social, cultural idea that they're committed to.
Yeah, like take the moon landing. And I'm not even going to say it definitely didn't happen. But if I...
No, obviously what we were shown is fake.
Yeah, and if I just say the government, which I do not trust already, is saying they lost the footage and all, like they lost it. Oops.
And destroyed the Saturn rocket that cost like $50 million.
Yeah, and they no longer have the tech to go back. I have a right to not trust them anymore. And so people would say, why would they lie? And it's because one classic spell to get someone docile is, this is the greatest achievement that's ever happened, and you'll never do it again, and we'll go back in the future. Just hold tight. And so I'll make fun of the moon landing and call the moon lander like a meth head's tree fort or just something funny. And people act like I'm attacking their grandfather, you know, kind of like a second ago when you were saying, you know, I have relatives that worked on the Manhattan Project. I mean, one of my best friend's grandfather helped build the moon rover and worked with Wernher von Braun, you know, and it's like, I'm not.
Yeah, let's be clear. I didn't say I had people on the Manhattan Project. No, people just after that.
Worked with missiles.
People
gotcha.
Testing missiles and then testing nuclear weapons.
Yeah. And so sometimes I get this people will say, like, are you calling my grandfather a liar? And I'm like, no. And so that's when identity gets mixed with spells. And I try to free people from that.
Yeah, there's also a bigger problem. So many people don't believe anything now. They think all the courthouses are 5,000 years old and nothing got built here and that, you know, everything is something. And meanwhile, I can go find, well, I'll tell you about when I come back.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80, we're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue, blue, blue. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione, and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Yeah.
In the heart of what was once the rugged, unyielding Republic of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott stands exposed as a willing participant in the quiet handover of the Lone Star State.
As long as I'm governor of this great state, Texas will be a land for the Indian community, a land for...
Abbott's recent directive freezing new H-1B petitions for state agencies and universities now rings hollow.
Governor Abbott made the announcement directing all public universities and state agencies to freeze new H-1B visa applications. Governor Abbott was on the Mark Davis radio show talking about his plan.
What job is it in our public schools in the state of Texas that these H-1B visas personnel are fulfilling that we can't fulfill here in our own public schools? I mean, those are exactly the types of questions that we're looking at.
A superficial gesture after years of courting the very demographic overhaul now transforming Texas suburbs into Little India.
Now, I want you to come to this area because as you guys can see behind me, this is a residential area and you have this very large, very intricate temple that is in this location where you quite frankly would not expect it. And one of the first things I saw when we got here was a huge pile of shoes outside because you cannot wear shoes inside the temple. So you have a lot of people that are walking around this area barefoot. And I actually went inside myself because I wanted to go check it out. And when you get inside, you see people worshiping multiple deities. And the one that did stick out to me was the area where people were going to pray for blessings of health and also for work visas. Now, we're in Frisco, Texas, and going back to that changing demographic, back in 2010, you had about 10% Asian or Indian population in this area. That has since surged to over 30%, and on top of that, Texans telling me as well that some of these school districts now primarily are made up of demographically Asian students. So this is one of the ways that the culture is changing up here. You have multiple Hindu temples all over the DFW area.
Multiple H-1B-linked companies registered to single addresses have funneled donations to Frisco, Texas's first Indian mayor.
Take a look at this room of full of concerned citizens. They want you to answer questions about why some of the mayor's biggest donors are Indians that don't live in Frisco. Is it because the mayor's real estate business, or is he being bought out to ignore an Indian takeover? Why are people with multiple H-1B companies registered to one address donating to Frisco's first Indian mayor? We know Fortune 100 companies are employing foreigners on H-1B visas, but why are Indians in Frisco opening up their own businesses tied to H-1B? It's not a coincidence that Frisco's Indian population exploded 4,510%, and there's potential visa fraud here.
The H-1B program landed in Texas with the 1990 Immigration Act, sold as a narrow fix for specialized skill shortages. What followed was a flood, especially from India, turning tech corridors and booming suburbs into outposts of chain migration and wage arbitrage.
I came here on H-1B 2004. Everybody was Americans. But the fast forward, now you don't see any Americans.
Where are you from?
Hyderabad.
Hyderabad.
I'm from India. I'm
from India.
Where in India? Hyderabad?
Why do you think Frisco became such a big hub for Indians?
They have their own community here.
Okay. No, it's not like that.
Not like that here in Frisco?
No.
Motherland India or Texas, USA?
Oh, obviously Motherland India.
Obviously Motherland India.
Hyderabad, of course.
Really? Did you come here on H-1B?
Yeah. I'm on H-1B.
H-1B?
Yeah.
You're H-1B?
Yeah.
Working here at 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
We need more or less H-1B people here?
We need a lot less. I have 2 master's degrees. I was making over $100,000 a year. They said, you're too expensive. We're going to hire Indians.
Now in looking into some of these companies, I think there may be more than meets the eye. Why not check in and see what we find? This one is TechBits on the LCA. We've got 2 2025 workers on site. I don't think anyone is here at TechBits.
This is colonization. This isn't immigration. The Indian loyalty remains overseas. Cultural enclaves form parallel economies, and American families get priced out or pushed aside. This isn't stewardship. It's selling Texas out. While private sector H-1B abuse rolls on unchecked, the governor's cozy relationship with the Indian community betrays the very people who built Texas. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Yeah, that's the problem, is it's not just the Somalis and the rest of it. The system, and Republicans are just as much involved at many levels, set it up to come here and get all this free stuff. And then these groups use this, and they act as clans, as gangs, and take over. It's really happening. You know, you talk a lot about that. Get into farming. Get into why it's so dark. People don't know how to even ride a bicycle on average anymore or get away from their iPhones, much less skin a buck or run a trot line. But you're optimistic, I know, in some ways, but this is just an insane time to be alive. AI data centers, they get all the energy they want, but humans can't drive a car. It's bad for the earth. I mean, this is really a very draconian system. What do you think? Who's at the top of the wizardry? Who's at the top of the New World Order? What is their goal that they were left unchecked?
The higher you go up in the wizard pyramid, the more hollowed out, vacated, and pathetic they get. So, and what you were talking about, you know, what's coming down the pipe during COVID, instead of do not comply, I was always saying do not rely, because the thing that the wizard always relies on is you needing them for something. And that's how, you know, we saw that in Gaza, like what happens when a group of people is completely reliant on another group that doesn't like them for their water, their food, and everything. And so the key is to not allow yourself to get to that point. And it starts very simply, where that's why I have Ladle TV and a well and I grow my own food, is because I realize that the only thing they have over you is, fine, then you don't get to use PayPal, then you don't get to be on Twitter, then you don't get to come to our fun sodomy parties. And I'm like, all right, I'm done. I don't want to go to any of your things. And so it can be tiring. It can get intense, but it's a lot more exhausting to live in cognitive dissonance and live a lie and just always be a little nervous and scared that the person driving the car that you rely on hates you, you know?
And by the way, memory serves, I've known you like at least 10 years. You weren't into farming. You just had this idea. Now you've gotten pretty good at it and you've expanded, and you, but that looks like a horrible office you have there. A terrible place to live right there. That's not blue screen, folks. That's very beautiful. Tell radio listeners where you're at right now.
Yeah, I'm in North Idaho. This is, we crowdfunded a campground during COVID so that we could have meetups and get togethers and weddings and stuff like that. So I'm just here for the day. I thought it'd be a nice place to talk to you with. And then my farm is about an hour south, where we have chickens and goats and cows and alpacas, and I have four sons. And it's funny, like I made labor, you know, there's this labor shortage, and I made labor with my penis.
And you didn't go buy a tractor or a mule. You just made it with your wife.
Exactly. I made it the old fashioned way. That's really fun and exciting. So, you know, I think the future is bright and horrifying. It just all depends on whether or not you're externalizing authority or not. I mean, I see people waiting for someone else to fix their problems, and it's not coming. It's only going to get more insane, you know, and whenever people are promising utopia, it's not, you know. And so I see this promise of AI, you know, making it so everybody, no one has to work again, and everyone's has everything they ever want. That's not how the world actually works.
Congressman Burchett, I don't think he's a bad guy, Tim Burchett, but he and all these others say, we've been given classified briefings. There's four types of aliens here on the earth. We're communicating with them. There's hidden craft. It needs to come out. It would totally scare you if you knew what's going on. What do you think this giant alien rollout is about?
I don't know, man. I think aliens are more on a demonic level, and I think they hop into people's, I think the more someone's vacated by trauma and wizardry, the more they get influenced by entities that I think is what a quote unquote alien is. I don't think there's little guys in saucers anywhere, but that's just my personal opinion. I can't prove it isn't true. I just, you know, that isn't the world I've seen. I've never met one, and I've met a lot of strange.
But that's what I'm saying is, and I do think it's interdimensional, and I'm probably the first to say that on a big platform years ago, decades ago, but now Congress is saying that, although they come here interdimensionally, and they now have a confirmed DMT test, private firms, government, where people are having the same DMT hallucinations at the same time, the laser test, where you see the code of the matrix. I mean, there is a lot of wild stuff happening, and regardless, there's about to be a lot of disclosure, but I think a lot of fake disclosure mixed in with it.
Yeah, I think it's fake disclosure. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Jerry Marzinski, but he's a prison psychiatrist who was dealing with schizophrenics in prison, and he was the only guy to ask them what the voices were saying. And I think they based that movie Nefarious on him. Like, I had him on my show once. You should have him on. He's amazing. But he's like asking these prisoners, like, what are the voices saying? And it was like lining up, you know, like there'd be a voice in his head, like,
there's a cigarette in the dumpster. There's a cigarette in the dumpster. You know, the guard will come in 30 seconds, stab him and get the cigarette. And it's like, and it would be real. And so, I think a lot of times what people call schizophrenia or some of these mental illnesses are they're like, you know, their tuning fork is a little tweaked so that they're kind of picking up on these other, realms, you know?
Oh, that's 100% what it is. And when you study black magic and all the ancient religions and cults, they were doing bad things that these entities wanted them to do. Then they would give them some advanced knowledge.
Yeah, totally. But they're liars too. It's like, that's what Jerry had figured out. They, like the higher echelons of these demons would give their victims something that would profit them in this world, like some kind of, technology or information that would get them short-term money. But long-term, they hate people, you know, and they want your destruction. It never ends well, but they'll juice you up in order to try and get people to humiliate themselves. And they love trauma because, you know, an embodied man or woman, like someone that has coherence, like they think, they say, and they do the same thing. Demons have a hard time, getting in there. That's why they love, needles and sodomy and all this stuff. They like penetration and trauma.
There's no doubt that there's an awakening that good and evil exist. I mean, you see it everywhere. And the controlled church is not going to be able to block that. What do you think about, I mean, do you think there's a great awakening happening?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a quickening. Like the lies to the revelation is faster and faster and faster. It's almost like birthing pains that a woman goes through. And that it's an exciting time to be alive, but if people don't take their own authority, they'll get really crushed. I mean, I know I can be optimistic, but if people don't say like it's, you know, it's on me, I'm not, I don't have a grievance. I don't need anything from anybody else. I forgive people, you know, and that doesn't mean you have to like people or have them in your life, but you just don't have a grievance toward them. If people don't do that, you know, there's AI pods, people will be paying money to die, you know, it's like, it's going to get dark out there.
Yeah, you were criticizing Israel like 10 years ago when it wasn't popular and it wasn't safe to do. I've noticed, I watched your show some, you've kind of gotten away from that, but I've heard you say it's because it's already, everybody else is already doing it. Plus, there is this thing where all these other low IQ people come in and they then just ascribe everything to it and it just becomes like a mindless one-up thing. Or I'm trying to quantify what I've heard you say. Where are you on the whole situation with Israel? Because, I mean, I never thought Israel ran everything, but now it's trying to run our foreign policy and it's openly trying to censor us and coming after me. And it seems to get more power the more opposite. Like Iran gets more power the more they get attacked. It seems like Netanyahu knows what he's maneuvered Israel into. And where do you see that going?
I mean, Israel is Hogwarts for wizards. I mean, that place is just a spell machine. But yeah, I mean, my thing forever has been I want people to be able to make their own choices. And when people weren't aware of AIPAC, or the Sackler family, or Teva Pharmaceuticals, or Israel's role in the government, or quote-unquote Jewish liability shields, the permanent victim stuff, I was trying to wake people up to that. I wasn't trying to get people to blame their problems on Jews or Israel. You know, it's because it's kind of like America. It almost makes us feel it makes it us seem like we're the child and Israel's the father, you know, and they're not. And so I don't blame Israel for anything. I just wanted people to be aware of that. And that's why I got so much backlash because, as I said earlier, the wizard requires you to not know that there's not really a rabbit in the hat. And so I think what we're seeing out of the Israelis and the Zionist stuff is a panic because their influence requires to be hidden. Like you can't do it in public or else it doesn't work. Like it has to be, you know, it has to be the whisper. It can't be the
screen. Sure, where do you think this Iran thing is going to go?
I just think Iran's just got a lot richer. They can now charge everyone who goes through the strait. I think America is the good. I mean, the good news is I think a lot of we're going to be like not having as many bases in the Middle East. But just wizardry. I think they're going to, you know, part of me wants to just encourage Trump and be like, yeah, you did it. Because that's the only way he can get out is to have everyone
I said that 39 days ago when I started. I said he's going to need an exit now. Or he'll keep doubling down. But look, the globalists aren't dumb. BlackRock is super happy now. Say it's the cause of depression. They wanted to set him up to trigger this new decline in the economy. And because they knew how it was going to end. They knew the mullahs weren't going to fall. Yes. So, I mean, up above, this was really about COVID 2.0. It's about a great reset.
Yeah. And there's wizards way above, the Israelis. I mean, I think a lot of them don't have a long-term plan. They seem very reactionary to me, which seems counterintuitive, but.
Well, that's what Tucker said reading all the different, Epstein files. People, of course, sacked him. Oh, now you're covering for Israel. It's like, no, it's the Rothschilds and then some other big rich people and Epstein telling Israel what to do. That's what I kept explaining, folks. It's like Israel's like this detonator for all this. But then you got the Rothschilds that are anti-Netanyahu at one level, but really aren't. But you read that and it's like Epstein was the Trilateral Commission in the chair of David Rockefeller that created it and literally was way more powerful than I even thought. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. I mean, a lot of these Israelis that a lot of the people see as these all powerful, you know, people, they're the lapdogs. They're the dogs on a leash, you know, and they're very easy to control because their appetites are so low. And I got a theory for you. This is not like a fact. This is just a theory. I think part of this might be a civil war in the Rothschild family because there was, you know, the references to the Rothschilds in the release. You know, there has to be someone in the Rothschild family doing that because they wouldn't allow that, you know, and so.
Well, hold on, they're not, like you said though, they're not all powerful. People don't know the Rothschilds took over the British Empire. They already controlled all the major banks in Europe. Excuse me. At the Battle of Waterloo in 1815 or whatever it was, they said Britain had lost, that Lord Wellington had lost, the stock market crashed 9%, they bought it up. That's historical mainline history. So they now controlled the British Empire that was the dominant force in the world. And so then they got mega powerful. And so it really is a powerful inbred Jewish family that is the most powerful still. But it even shows at the end, they're so inbred and so down the line that their manager, their emissary was Jeffrey Epstein. And because he worked at that pedophile school with Bill Barr's dad, who wrote the books about raping kids and how great it is, science fiction books about planets of slave children kidnapped from Earth, he then was brought in as a manager, and just like he was brought in as David's stand-in, trained by him in 1990, when he's 30-something years old, he's brought in, and he talks about all this, it turned out it's in the documents, and a lot of it was public, we just weren't looking at it. He wasn't just working for David Rockefeller, he became the legate or the spokesman of him, and as he got older and older, and it just turns out once all the Rothschilds are inbred and been rich for dozens of generations, and same thing with the Rockefellers, Epstein was just, he was like the butler for these guys, but because they were all so decadent, he actually became them. He actually became the guy. It's wild. Like you said, the higher up you get, I know people, a lot of them, but also a lot of people that know a lot of people, and it's come up, the DuPonts, how they're all decadent and crazy and rich. They're almost all trannies or devil worshippers. Most of their kids commit suicide. It's like that for all these so-called elites. They are in hell. They are trying to project their own demonic sickness onto us. It's not just they want to hurt us, which they do. They're just trying to get us to drink the same poison they did.
100%. And it's like the love of money is the root of all evil. They're so inbred because they don't want to lose any money. That's why they marry their cousins and nieces and nephews and become like such freaks. And yeah, I think the elites would disappoint a lot of people. Like if you actually talk to them, they're not as smart as you think. They're not as, you know, powerful. They have crippling addictions. Their kids hate them. They're cursed. A lot of them are very, very cursed. And speaking of wizardry, think about how funny it is that Barr and Epstein, like that's what the herpes virus is called, Epstein-Barr. And I always just think little things like that are like little winks. There's comedy in this that you can't write, like Bernie Madoff with your money, Ellen DeGeneres, you know, Magic Johnson. It's like Epstein Barr. It happens over and over and over again where it's almost like, you know, the Federal Reserve was started by a guy called Warburg. You know, it's almost like you get more wizard points if it says what you are in your name and people still agree with you, where it's like,
oh, that's lesser magic. They have to metaphysically tell you.
Yeah, totally. It's like, oh, I'm going on a date with, Chad Rapeman, you know, it's like Rapeman. It's like, yeah, Rape Man or like Theftberg. And so I think, yeah, I think if your name says what you are, where it's like, you know, Bernie Madoff with your money. It's like, I think that they get more.
Yeah, but in all
points.
The cultures, take English, it's you're a miller. Well, you're a long line of people that mill grain, or all the old names of everything. It says what your family was.
Yeah, Anthony Weiner. He loves showing you his penis. There's so many of them are named after Weiner. It's like that the head of the Olympics is named Dick Pound. You know, and I'm like, couldn't you just say Richard? Like his book, it says written by Dick Pound. And I'm like, why? And then I figured out that there is a sexualization to wizardry where to get these images and these words in your head where you don't really realize it. Like right now, two of the astronauts in Artemis are named Cox and Glover. And it's like Cox Glover. It's like, you know, you're like saying Cock Glover, you know? And, I think that's part of it. That's why they're all shaped like penises.
Also, it's, Moloch or Baal, the bull, is the symbol of Artemis.
Oh, interesting.
Did you see the Artemis 2 patch? You flip it, it's a bull. 100% Moloch.
Well, I mean, that's what our markets are. Like, the bull and the bear is some ancient pagan stuff, you know, where it's like, here comes the bull, here's the bear. And as someone now, like, doing animal husbandry has changed the way I see everything because the wizards view us like animals and they're farming our consciousness with word spells and they're doing crop rotation, our feed, you know, you have a feed trough. Our feed is Twitter. Here's your feed for your consciousness, you know? And I think we're in a revelatory state and the cards are being laid on the table and everyone's seeing who really was wearing underpants and who wasn't. And kind of like what you said earlier about how I was warning people about this stuff 10 years ago, I feel a lot better now because I felt a lot more like ostracized. Like people would look at me like the way I saw the world was so insane. And now I don't have that tension as much. And so I just feel a lot more comfortable, you know, even though we're facing a lot of problems, I don't feel like there's as much tension with the world at large.
I agree with you. If the globalists don't blow us all up or release a real virus or whatever, I said this about 2-3 years ago. I said, I feel like my primary mission that people are going to awaken now on average, at least have their choice to make the right decision. And now I've got a lot of important work still to do, but we've kind of got to the top of the mountain. And
yeah, and keep your word because trust is the hugest thing. Like if you can say something and people believe you, you're going to be Superman in the future.
That's right, because people are losing confidence and everything. But that is the problem. I'm sure you've seen this alternate history stuff where they go, look at this building in Detroit. It must be 1,000 years old. Humans didn't build it. They don't know you can go to the old historical societies or the libraries and find the books. Or, you know, they say, this courthouse isn't real. And I guess their families don't pass down the names or picture books of how great-great-grandpa helped build it. They don't understand that we've degenerated. They look at all this cool stuff we built. And they go, oh, there's no way that was us because we can't build it now. You know, they say today people couldn't even build D.C. We don't even have the craftsmen to build D.C. today.
Yeah, because I think it's a coping mechanism that it's like, well, how can you build that? These giant, you know, the Philadelphia City Hall, any brick, you can't even bring it in on a road. And so you think, oh, aliens, it must be, you know, another civilization. Or people were just really good at this stuff. You know, someone recently called me a Middle Ages peasant because I was, you know, making fun of NASA or something. And I showed the cathedral in Cologne. I'm like, thank you. Like, look at what they can build. You know, and I'm trying to reconnect with that part of my life where, you know, I had a great grandfather that carved this bed that I slept in as a kid. And it was just so beautiful. I just remember looking at it almost like how people would look at a courthouse. Like, is that an alien who did that? And it was like, oh no, it was your grandfather from, you know, from Switzerland or something. And I want to be more like that. I want to be more real, you know?
Absolutely. And then people are so inept, me too, compared to my ancestors when it comes to doing real stuff. They think that can't, we didn't do that.
And yeah.
Because they have they have no idea. All right, we'll be right back. You're going to host most of the next hour. Got some final news to hand. Stay with us. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's yours.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexshowstore.com. I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria, the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the info war, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasShowStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at DallasShowStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. On corruption. It's Alex Jones.
All right, I'm going to talk about another 10, 15 minutes with Owen. I'm going to hand the baton over to him. I'll be listening while I take care of business around here, but I want him to be able to run with some of the stuff he sent. He sent compilations showing how crazy NASA is and how they're full of it and got caught destroying all the evidence, what they really did at the moon, and more. How it ties into Artemis II. I want him to get into what is 4D chess in his definition and more coming up with Owen Benjamin. Owen, big picture. What do you make of Trump? Because all I got was lawsuits in hell for supporting him. So I thought, well, he must be good because I'm being attacked by the system. It came out the CIA, Justice Department, ran all those fake lawsuits against me, all of it. And I knew he wasn't perfect, but overall, it was good. But now this new administration, soon as Elon Musk left, I could go on for hours, all the bad decisions. And now it's just totally insane. I mean, what did he think saying, I'll destroy you all, I'll kill you all, open the effing strait? Allah Akbar, the whole civilization will die tonight, never to be born, brought back again, which is bad enough. Then he backs off, and then it's a total screw job deal, which makes us look like fools, but that's better than continuing deeper into the war. It just looks, we already talked about it, but a total trap here. What happens, do you think, with the midterms and just, because as much as we all get mad at Trump for his betrayals, the Democrats and the left worldwide is the leading edge of the wizards, I'd say, or am I wrong?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, what I see happening with Trump is, it's almost like, when the system was coming at him, it was for nonsense reasons. And I'm with you. I was kind of like, I was backing him for those specific things because I felt like they were gaslighting him. They were doing wizardry against him. They were trying to, reframe his words into something he didn't say. And now that he's actually doing a bunch of monstrous stuff, it's almost like they don't have any more ammunition because they already did all that stuff. And so, yeah, I thought that was insane. As a comedian, I mean, he's kind of like a comedian in a way, and you can't talk that way as a president. It just doesn't work.
I think you just nailed it. We were defending the truth because almost all the time he was telling the truth and trying to do something good. They were lying about him. Oh, he hates all the Mexicans. Oh, he says the KKK are fine people. Speaking of wizards, he didn't say any of that. So we would defend him because they were lying. But it was almost like not like he was involved, but a setup the way they did it to get us to Pavlovianly defend him because it was wrong. So he could then do the double cross.
Yeah. And I think narcissism really builds as a defense mechanism because he was getting rocked. And just being in any lawsuit, you learn how stressful that is. And it's like, when you're getting attacked that much, sometimes people do create this delusion bubble where they don't let anyone around them that they think is a threat. And so everybody starts being a yes man, and then they plunge into insanity. And then you have all these, you know, these warmongers just whispering everything he wants to hear in his ears. And he probably had a lot of trauma from that stuff. I mean,
no, I totally agree. And I know the inside baseball, yeah. And I've watched, you crystallized perfectly. Trump didn't implode in. He didn't fail as an implosion. He exploded. And now he literally, some people talk, he does not give a damn. He thinks he's going to do it. He doesn't care. He told Tucker Carlson, Tucker's like, well, how do you know this is going to go well? He goes, it always does. You know, just like he thinks he's invincible. That's dangerous. But he's learning now. He's learning now. He's not.
Yeah, because that's what creates delusion bubbles and narcissistic personality disorder. It's not just out of nowhere. It's because you just get so hammered. You're like, okay, I have to believe in myself no matter what. Like the truth comes from me. Anyone who criticizes me is a threat. And then that's what King Lear by Shakespeare is about. It's about not realizing who your real threats are and who your friends are because you can't have anyone around you that you think could do these things to you. And that's why, you know, he was kind of brainwashed over the last 8 years where, you know, people came at him so relentlessly that now we're seeing this like partial dementia come from it.
Well, it's like when you drop nuclear bombs on Godzilla, he goes crazy. And I'm not even trying to defend Trump. That is what it is. He's not a bad person. Yeah. But at the end of the day, he went crazy. I mean, I would be 10 times crazier at 79 what he's been through. I mean, it's true. I mean, he's not Superman. And he has gone, I don't give an F, cuckoo. And we'll see back in 60 seconds. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
William Shakespeare wrote King Lear, and I haven't read it in decades. I saw a movie about it decades ago, too. But when you describe Trump, this is it. King Lear is a Shakespearean tragedy about an aging king who divides his kingdom between his 2 flattering daughters, Goneril and Regan, banishing his honest youngest daughter, Cordelia, for refusing to flatter him. The play follows Lear's descent into madness as his daughters betray him, and then the kingdom is just destroyed, basically. And that's what's happening with Trump. They just literally grovel like a cartoon in front of him, and then the people that won't, Tulsi Gabbard and people, he almost fired her last week. Now he figured, oh, no, now she's good. It's once the man, twice the child, to quote Shakespeare again. I think we're having early onset of dementia here. If he took some time off, got out of sleep deprivation, I think he can pull back. He is a bull. He has incredible stamina, but this is a disaster if he continues to degenerate. Any ideas about how to get through to Trump or get him out of this, or is it just too late?
Yeah, I mean, people do get out of it. And if you just look at King Lear and the flatterer, and that's why in the past, when I was trying to tell people the truth, and you face this as well, and they get really mad at you, and I'm like, this is how I show love. Like, you don't want me to just say what I think you want to hear, because that's actually how you ruin somebody. That's the tyrannical mother. That's the tyrannical feminine, you know? And when you talk about Saturn worship and Saturn...
The smothering mothers. Sorry, go back to Saturn.
Yeah. Saturn ate his children. So it's like
Saturnalia.
Yeah. So it's the eating of the children. It's the consuming of the future. That's the flatterer. And so I think, you know, Trump right now is surrounded by these worm tongues, and they're just telling him, oh, you're the greatest. What you've done, no one's ever done it before. You're crushing it. You're the greatest. And so anybody that actually cares about his future would say, hey, man, this is probably a bad idea. And he has a right to not listen to that person as an advisor, but you don't want just yes men, you know?
Oh, listen to this. I know top Trump advisors that told me, hey, what you're doing is great attacking him, but I'm going to have to attack you just because they've asked me, hey, I'm friends with you. That way I still get access. But then they buy TV ads just in Mar-a-Lago on Fox and in D.C. She don't have to pay the national rate. It's like a 1/100th or whatever. Just to target political ads, because that's what he believes whatever he sees on Fox. There's Saturday Evening Sun. So on screen. So a Renaissance painting. So that's literally what this is that now, because used to Trump liked to be argued with and stuff. Now the new one, he does not want to hear anything contrary, and that is so dangerous.
Well, it's the king's disease. It really is like a mental disease where it's like everyone has to just grovel at all times, and that comes from trauma. It's like, you know, he just doesn't want to deal with that ever again, and then it gets to this point of narcissism.
And by the way, he does that. Let me tell you, Trump. I've talked to Trump quite a bit years ago, and he invited me up last year, but then I went against him, so that went away. But I didn't even go when they invited me. It's literally he just pats you on the head like you're a dog. But I learned real quick. He loves phone calls. He sees it like a free currency of flattery. You get the call, we talk to the president, yes. 5 minutes of you're the best, you're wonderful, you're so incredible. He'd call my wife up and tell her that. And that was like my payment was this ego thing. Well, I'm not into that. I'd be like, sir, this person's bad. They're doing this, sir. Can I send you this? And he would listen sometimes, and I'd send him reports. Then they got really upset about it was in the news. But he got to this point where, you know, he told someone that's close to him, a couple years ago, he says, I don't want to effing hear from him again because he keeps bringing up, you know, the COVID shots. And it was with everybody else. He would just scream at people if they brought up the COVID shot to him. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and they end up, because it's only people that are using him are going to flatter him. And that's why every relationship is toxic, because they'll say they want to be in Mar-a-Lago. They want to be close to power. They want something from him. And that's why the people like in King Lear, the daughter that just loved her father and didn't want anything from him wouldn't do that. And so the king that has this disease, this illness at this point gets very uncomfortable around people that aren't using them. And that's when it gets so odd. And that's when people starve to death.
Exactly. And Shakespeare couldn't write this stuff legally or you'd get hung, but he was compositing real stuff going on. I mean, take the Sun King's court. In France or whatever, it was just total courtiers groveling, backstabbing, and once this develops, this megalomania, if it's not transactional and if you're not doing this and if you're not getting something back, then he thinks there's something wrong with you.
Oh, totally. And then you're not allowed in the court. And that's when you have a sick king. Louis XVI, 15% of Paris and France had their heads chopped off. You know, it's like it ends really bad, you know, and that's why the truth will set you free. And it's like, even if it hurts, you know, and that's why I say I might be wrong, but I'm not lying, because I might be wrong, but I'm going to tell you what I think is true at that moment, or else I'm poisoning you. And so.
And that's the essence of a vibrant, healthy society.
Exactly. And it's just, and that's when you get high trust. That's when you get a high yield. That's when you get.
I always tell my crew, the one thing you'll get fired for, and the best crew ever, super hard worker put up with me, is don't keep bad news from me. Don't glaze me. Like, I want to be told when I say something wrong. I want to be told when I'm out of control. I want them to give me their opinion. And they might be totally right. They usually are, but I want that. I don't want a bunch of yes men. You know, Julius Caesar, when he became the emperor and everything, this is in their books. It happened. He had his aide walk around behind him every hour or two saying, you're not a god. You're just a man. Remember, don't let the power go to your head. When he would ride in for the big triumphant deals after a military victory, everybody's worshiping him. He had a person right behind him saying, you're not a god. You're not a god. Remember, this is bad. You're in grave danger. The more power you get, the more danger you're in. Because he told him what to say, but he literally needed to be constantly reminded of it. Because he said he didn't want that sickness.
Yeah, and one thing that happens to these guys is they're so used to the court. They're so used to the wizard court where everyone's like praising and slathering and they want power. that they forget about other social structures. So like Caligula was killed by one of his, Praetorian guards because like Caligula would just be mocking everyone and lying and doing all his things and banging
everyone's horse and making it out of the Senate. And
yeah, anything he wanted, just humiliation rituals, wizardry, all that stuff. And one of his guards was like, stop making fun of me. Like he was just like, his culture is honor culture and honor culture. That's why the stand up comedian is a very interesting position right now because we were the day walkers. It's like, yeah, I've been in movies and TV shows, but my bread and butter is on a stage with like a crowd and I can't lose the honor, you know, or else I get eaten alive. It's more gladiatorial than court. And so someone like me doesn't, like if I'm getting slathered or if I'm like trying to kiss someone's ass, I feel like awkward and like uncomfortable.
And plus the crowd wouldn't want to hear you for an hour say, you're beautiful. You're amazing. They want the gladiator event. They want to praise you when it's funny and say you suck when it's not. And it's that.
Exactly.
That's street smarts. That's on the ground. Rubber meets the road. That's why, listen, I never wanted to go to prom. Cleveland. I never wanted to be the, you know, king of the prom. I never, cause it was just stupid. It seemed just instinctive. I didn't like it. I was out with college girls when they were going to the high school prom. I mean, I was already gone out of it by junior high. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was arrested. And I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to go to Mar-a-Lago and stand around in tuxedos and act like we've arrived. And they've had me so many times in Mar-a-Lago, White House, you name it, and they stopped doing it. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Well, it's because I know what happens. Well, what's going to happen? He's going to say thank you at dinner with 100 people, and I'm going to bathe in it, and then some chick will try to have sex with me. Whoop-de-frickin-do. Now, I said, you want to have a meeting about policy or something? Give me 30 minutes. I'm coming. I know, well, they'll be, you know. Again, I don't want to play games, okay? You know, it's real simple, and it's not like I'm super cool. I just can't even connect to it.
Well, it's also just how long is your timeline? It's so short-lived. I mean, You brought up the Sun King. It's like his grandson had his head chopped off with his wife. Head chopped off. It's like it doesn't last because the flatterer doesn't. There's actually a hatred of it. Where that's why I started making fun of veterans because they seem to be. Because I got racial because of Cleveland. I mean, all black audiences will look at you like if you don't say it, we're gonna turn on you. Like you come at us, you know. And so in America, people will glaze all veterans.
But go back and say what black audiences want to hear. Flesh that out.
Oh, yeah. If I didn't go racial, if I hesitated with a pejorative or any of that, I was dead. And so, you know, a lot of inner city black culture is honor culture. So
well,
it's like
black people love Nick Fuentes openly talking crap to him.
Well, I think a lot of them think he's a homo, but they do like that, cause they're also very homophobic blacks. They'll be like, man, what's up with this kid?
No, I know you don't like Nick, but just whatever.
It's not that I don't like Nick. It's just like on your show, he called me a gay Jewish man. And then I responded and then he was like, I'm like, dude, I'm responding to you. Like you're the one talking shit. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't remember that, but okay, yeah. But going back to the black audiences, flesh that out.
Yeah, yeah. So if you show hesitation, like if you show that you're afraid or you're not in the flow state, they'll eat you alive. And it's like that with honor culture. And so that's like the military. The military, that's why a lot of times these tyrannical kings that get sick in the head, usually a coup is what takes them out because the military isn't like the military's bread and butter is battlefield honor, physical strength. And so they don't care if like Benny Johnson follows you on Twitter. Like they think that's all ridiculous. Like same with stand-up comedians. Like I think like a lot of these actor types are absurd buffoons, you know, because they're like, you know, like obsessing about their skin tone and their abs and their tight jeans and stuff. And I'm like, you haven't even thought about entertaining anybody. Like you're not a god. And that's why.
Well, so they don't even know that women just don't want abs. They want a funny, smart, powerful, independent guy.
Yeah, but most of them are homos. I mean, that's why there's so many homos now. It's like, cause narcissism leads to being a homo because you're like, okay, if I'm my own god, I'm a dude. So that is like an inverse loop where you start like being attracted to yourself. And before you know it, you're just driving around in a Miata. And that's the end of the story. You know, then you got Magical Johnson and Greg Louganis.
Well, when I was a pretty boy, and I certainly wasn't effeminate, and I had no problem with women, but now that I look like a, you know, cross between a Mr. Clean and Stone Cold Steve Austin, I mean, I'm not trying to brag. I literally, plus you're like 8 feet tall. I know you probably don't have the problem either, but I have to like beat the women away with a stick. So I don't think women are looking for pretty boys.
No, you kind of touched on it with Mar-a-Lago. They kind of like when you've been allowed behind the curtain, where it's like you've been anointed. And that's why people slather up to these stars, these like, moguls, you know, that's, cause I see it over and over again, especially when I was getting quote unquote canceled, where I was making fun of the, I said the Caitlyn Jenner woman of the year hasn't been a woman for a full year joke 6 years before Chappelle. And people pretended it wasn't funny because Netflix and all this money was getting pumped in from, you know, the Edward Bernays family. And I just remember being like, why are you guys all lying? And then, so what happens is people get anointed where you're one of the in crowd. You get to go to the, you know, you get the money from the AIPAC. You get, you're repped at CAA. And then, you know, women look at you like, oh, you've been approved by Mount Olympus. And I never wanted that. I'm like, I can.
But what I'm saying is I'm finding more and more women are rejecting that.
Rejecting what Mount Olympus? Oh yeah, I mean,
like you know, like, well, it's like cockatoos. It's whoever sits highest in the tree is the boss. Most women, real women, are getting they're really tired of it. Like I think everybody used to be everybody used to be more into Hollywood. I mean, I was never worshipped it, but I thought it was kind of cool 30 years ago, and then didn't like it 20. Now I hate it. But I think the general public is kind of more and more sick of it all.
Oh yeah. Well, the sacred cows are just getting slaughtered and slaughtered because women deep down want stability and these things don't appear stable anymore. Like being anointed by the king doesn't mean anything like it once did. So it's not that women aren't
as the last straw of why I don't go to Mar-a-Lago or the White House is I'm not afraid to be attacked by the establishment, but I go around, they come after whatever they don't want me to be anointed, which I don't want to be either. But that somehow with the people that are anointed, they don't want that. They still think that's the, like I see CNN, I saw all these clips on CNN going, Tucker Carlson's not very big, Alex Jones isn't very big, and I can go look at the numbers, we're way bigger than them, I don't even care about that, but they're literally on all these TV shows with Democrat and Republican strategists. I saw like five clips this morning without even looking, saying, oh, they're not important. You know, the fact that they went after Trump, and this is CNN defending him, and the fact that Trump, you know, is backing off, he shouldn't listen to them because they have no power. And then CNN has like 70,000 viewers on average. It's a joke. So they're talking about how big they are.
That's wizardry. That's wizardry. It's gaslight. It's gaslight, diagnose, ignore. I talk about this in the book. It's like, so they just lie. And then when you respond like you just did, where you're like, look at the numbers. And I like Tucker Carlson now, too. I think he's crushing. I mean, he brought up Spellcraft recently. And so.
Oh, well, he's definitely listening to you. That's what I'm saying. Tucker. Cause I watch his numbers and I know what, I talk to his people, what they are about other
crushing.
Stuff. He's crushing subscriptions, crushing on every platform. He's at least 10 times bigger than he was on Fox.
I mean, yeah, so they're just trying to get you to believe them that it's perception management. This is wizardry.
They have all these articles that I don't have an audience and I'm off the air. When InfoWars shuts down, we're going to be gone. We're going to be bigger. It's they want me to believe their spell.
That's it, man. They need you to believe the spell. Cause in the past, I've believed the spells before where I'm like, am I full of hate? Like I can be so open-minded sometimes that a wizard will say something to me and I'll think about it. Like, and then if I start changing that way, or if I'm like, cause for me, my issue was like, I would feel threatened when I wasn't really threatened. And then I could almost come across as more antagonistic, more volatile.
Yeah, because you used to be more reactive in explaining yourself. Yes. I think your shows are better when I've seen them now because you don't do that. Me too. I almost told Harrison this today, but I was busy and didn't do it. I saw them post on my ex account, him explaining that I'm not an Israeli operative to people. If people want to believe that, believe it. I don't have to justify myself to people that just know how to call me a Jewish agent. That's ridiculous. But they're another form of idiocy and wizardry. You see that, I'm sure, with the Jew stuff now, where if you slip on a banana peel, it's the Jews. It's its own form of idiocy, its own cult.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you like defending it actually puts it in people's heads. And I used to do that all the time. I'd be like, I haven't lost my mind. My wife still loves me. She hasn't kicked me out of the house. Like, I'm still funny. Dude, the thing...
They say his wife has left him because I don't really stalk him, but I remember that. And you come and explain, here she is, we in the kitchen, we're fine. I try to tell my crew that. Just do not respond or it makes it worse.
Yeah, and so they want you to believe the spell is the whole thing. And that shows the whole nature of the wizard is like they don't have the power of the free man. They need you to do it all the time with fear, with all that. And so when I started feeling less threatened, I got more chill and I could be more myself. Cause I was always like a pretty laid back dude. There was about a few years where I didn't even know the world this happened. Like I didn't know that you could be targeted by the global media or anything. And so, that's where I learned a lot of this stuff from mistakes. It's not just I'm just some all knowing guy. It's like these things would happen to me. I would then go, oh, that's how that works. Look at how they got me. And I just kept falling for traps. And now once I know how it works, the traps don't work like they used to.
Me too. I've been on there 32 years on the 15th. And people ask how I know what I know. It's trial and error. It's research. It's interviewing everybody. It's just my head's in the game. And now I know nothing. As Socrates said, you know, the teacher knows they're really a student. I look at these newbies that have woken up, and that's what I worry about them, is they have such limited knowledge. So they know the system's lying, but then they'll just spin off into all these other little you know, and you're like, you really feel sorry. I don't know, but it's a process.
Dude, I'm like the anti-Semitism version of a hipster where I now think it's like kind of gay to hate the Jews. They're like a newbie will be like, oh, it's the Jews. I'm like, nah, not really. It's a behavior and you have to take the loan and you have to agree. Like I'm trying to explain it and they're like, oh, so you're an Israeli shill now? I'm like, bro, do you even know who you're talking to? And then I just realized that I'm almost like that dude who's still like listening to records or something. You know, I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Cause they're still externalizing authority. They're still saying it's the doing this to me. And I'm like, well, you want something from them. Like Trump wants flattery right now or else he wouldn't be listening to it. You know,
well, it's a computer program you've decided to stick in you.
And
what I don't understand is when you make it all about the Jews, the ones on top have set it up where they get persecuted and then they get more power because the low-level Jews don't know it. And it's the same in every group. It's like the black leaders literally trying to get blacks persecuted or hyping it up so they can play victim, so they can feed off them. They're farming your victimhood, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's all identity games. Like, evil isn't an identity. It switches constantly. That's why as soon as you think it's this
Remember
one
Agent
group.
Remember Smith,
like,
that's a great analogy, jumps into whoever he wants in the Matrix?
Exactly. And that's how a wizard works. He's supercharged like science, what we just talked about. So science starts getting credibility, and then the science becomes like the COVID rollout. And the same thing is with the Jews. I bet they jumped into the Jews because they were known for being like really literate, or they were like pretty stable for like holding on to someone's gold 1,000 years ago. You know, there was something where they jumped into that group to then pace it, mimic it, and run it off a cliff. And that's how evil actually works. And as soon as you think it's the Quakers or the Portuguese or whatever, it's always, that's
why
in the
Bible,
these
empires all come and go, then they get,
they come and go. It's like you know, before the Rothschilds, it was the Habsburgs, and they were so incested that their jaws got insane. And this idea, that's why the Bible talks about, you know them by their fruit, and also the love of money is the root of all evil. Like,
well,
you
the
just
Rothschilds,
keep
they didn't even
thing.
Want to be Jewish anymore when they crashed the British economy at the Battle of Waterloo, saying that the British had lost the war. People looked that up. It's incredible history. They got breeding rights to breed into the British family. And they wanted to breed in to the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, a Transylvanian German inbred line of lunatics, the madness of King George III, literally. That was the ultimate goal, was to be British lords and breed into inbreds when they're already inbred themselves.
Yeah. And they're never happy. As soon as they get to do that, they just want the next thing, and that emptiness does end up consuming them.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. You're going to take over 30 minutes. You got NASA stuff to cover. They got the clips for you. Owen Benjamin, thank you so much for going to break. We'll talk to you soon. You got to come back soon.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
You bet. Stay there. You're hosting when we come up. Want you to be able to run on yourself without me interrupting every 5 seconds. Just briefly, I'm not funded by Israel, Qatar, or the Easter Bunny. I'm funded by you selling T-shirts, books, knives, really good supplements. I mean, if you don't get our Methylene Blue, you are insane. And they've got a deal, because I don't own the Alex Jones store. I push a lot of the stuff. It's not what they sell. But I haven't called them yet, but I'm like, what is this? They're selling methylene blue, the very best out there, for $16.79. I happen to know what it costs. See, it's medical grade. They can buy the non-medical grade for like $5 a bottle. They buy medical grade out of Florida, costs $16 and change. It's $16.79, folks. I mean, I'm going to call them and say, we got to make some money. You can have this big number, but we don't get any money. The lights go out. But their argument, they got great marketers, is they're going to love it so much, they're going to buy everything else. Now, you got to be a subscriber, but that's no commitment because you can cancel any time. So you subscribe. Each month you get it at cost in perpetuity until you cancel. One click of your profile. That is cuckoo town good. And there's a bunch of other really great products on the site. Huge sale right now. TheAlexShieldStore.com. That funds our operation. I need your support with InfoWars about to shut down. I haven't announced what's going to happen or what's going on. We know now. We know the shutdown date. We've survived so much, but this is it. And it's such a big deal. I just look at the edge of a cliff, not in a bad way. I'm going to try to announce it tomorrow. Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at TheAlexShieldStore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at TheAlexShieldStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexShieldStore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexShieldStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexShieldStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you
to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Hello, everybody. What's going down? I am guest hosting now for the next 30 minutes, apparently, from the beautiful state of Idaho. In the northern section, it's the Panhandle. We are near Canada, near Montana, Washington, Oregon, all kinds of areas. We have elk and duck and fish and whatnot. And I figured I'd let you guys call in if you want to. I'm taking calls on the Alex Jones. Is that a train? We have a train go by. I'm like kind of a racial, somewhat anti-Semitic Mr. Rogers. Train! You hear that? That's Mr. Rogers' train, and I'm Mr. Rogers. 877-789-2539 if anybody wants to call in, talk to me about anything. That train is bringing me, Mr. Rogers would always get like a fun banana treat. I remember one time some little kid brought him like a banana sandwich made out of peanut butter and something. And he was like, this looks so good. I'm going to save it for later. And I know he threw it away. And I wasn't mad at him, but I was like, hey man, you could have at least tried the sandwich. You hear that train? I'm just because I'm a guest on someone else's show. I'm not going to reference a World War II incident when referring to a train, even though it could be funny. And I hope you guys call in so that we can talk about any random thing. And don't forget to order my book, How to Slay a Wizard, on Amazon. If you enjoyed the first part of this conversation, it's a great time to learn about spellcraft and wizards and all that stuff. And subscribe to ladle.tv. It's $9.11 a month. And the reason I chose that, it's because everyone has bills. People have bills. And whenever you see a bill, you usually get pretty bummed out. You're like, oh, not a bill. But when you see $9.11 on your monthly bill, you smile and you laugh. And you can say to yourself, never forget. And it's funny. It's genuinely funny. And I just thought it would be kind of fun to flip that experience into something fun. And it also has everything I've ever done, like every appearance, every podcast, every hour special. And I made it out of necessity because I frankly was not allowed other places because people like flatterers, as we talked about earlier in the conversation that Donald Trump right now has King Lear disease and he ends up going blind. It's a really powerful play. I highly recommend people check it out. The Ben Shapiro sister, the Dave Levin, Larry Loomer, like all these freaks, they just slather and butter up and praise the king. And what does is it allows the king to not have their trauma triggered because of, New York's district courts that have just been kind of trying to terrorize them for a long time. Because kings have a very terrifying job. You know, say what you will about the Sun King Louis XIV, but unless you've seen a peasant revolt back in the day when people would hack each other into pieces, you really can't judge. And so the narcissism is actually like a soothing agent. It's almost like Novocaine for the soul. There was a song by the Eels called Novocaine for the Soul where you kind of hit your max where you don't want to feel any of that anymore. You don't want the fear, the pain, the doubt, the self-doubt, the regret. And so you switch it off and you just turn on like everything I do is great no matter what. And that's a coping mechanism. And it's actually extremely dangerous because, it's like that disease where you can't feel physical pain is one of the most dangerous diseases you can have. It sounds great, you fall down, you break your arm, you don't feel any pain, but you don't know when you're injured. And when you're in that position, your injuries just get worse and worse and worse until you lose the Strait of Hormuz. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So do we have any callers? I don't know if we have callers or not. Scony, talk to me.
It's Scony, which is slang for a cheesehead Wisconsinite. And we recently moved, kind of like you did. And I will open a new X account to talk to you about farming and greenhouses and all the like. But what I really wanted to talk about was cancel culture and using humor, such as you do, and also Gavin McInnes and J.P. Sears and even Hecklefish, that people get annoyed with the orange Hecklefish on White Files. Well, that's how you get your video as a parody not taken down, hopefully. And I remember when they were going after you like crazy. And what I admire is you mentally rope-a-dope people. And, like, someone gave me crap about using the term rope-a-dope. Come on, that's Cassius Clay. Muhammad Ali said that first. But you're mentally doing it, and I appreciate your use of humor and very well word-crafted etymology. And I look forward to purchasing your book. And great. I wanted to actually just ask you, I know you, when you were going through some rough times, my brother said, I don't know what's up with Owen, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, he's getting pummeled from all sides. And it's like when Gavin McInnes did How to Fight a Baby. Oh, my God. It was hilarious. Or something about Virgin on some video. And How to Be a Man. That's right. And Awaken with JP. And hilarious stuff, you know.
It's so funny you bring up JP, because JP's really turned up. He's really escalated in a lot of really cool ways. I showed him love on Twitter, because what happened to him is what kind of like what happened to me, where he did a joke, kind of like the rope-a-dope thing you were just referring to. And the people with that narcissistic wizard disease that me and Alex were talking about, they get furious when you make fun of them. And so, you know, Erica Kirk, in my opinion, is in that position. And so when they came at him, you have two options. You either completely fold or you just keep going. And he kept going. And that's always what I wanted, to see out of these comedians. And so thanks for the love, my friend. And I hope you really enjoy the book. And my mom is from Wisconsin. It's a great place. And thanks for calling in. I got to get to a couple more callers, but, you sound like a funny dude. What up, Steven? Talk to me.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for the both of you and also a comment, or rather, I suppose it's a lead, specifically for Alex. So just with regard to the comment briefly, Alex, I know back in 24 and 25, you were talking a lot about the FBI in New York sort of being the locus for where this Epstein cover-up was really being run out of. And so I just wanted to let you know that there's a DOJ file that I mentioned in the Epstein files, which contains an internal FBI email from some people in the counterintelligence unit. They're in New York discussing how to handle the problem at Harvard and MIT. So I just want to give you that file number so that you and your staff can be aware of it. Congressman Massey has the file as well. The number is EFTA00038124. And again, that's an important file because the DOJ redacted the names of the FBI agents. So if we can get those names redacted, we'd be able to figure out who in the FBI in New York was covering that up. My question is, given the fact that Bondi got fired last week and was supposed to testify on the 14th, has just backed out, Bill Gates has been subpoenaed as well. So it seems like there's a lot of movement going on with this Epstein scandal. So, you know, Owen, I would just be interested in hearing your view about what's going on with this scandal, because it just doesn't seem to go away, and it's not really behaving according to the way a lot of these PSYOPs ordinarily do.
Yeah. I mean, the PSYOP in this, there's PSYOPs in this all over the place, but it's a real thing. And something of this scale that gets revealed, because that's what we were talking about earlier, wizardry always ends at some point. Like that something for nothing, abracadabra, you know, fiat, I create as I talk, that borrowing of credibility, the manipulation of emotion, that will always run out. And eventually the piper gets paid. And so what we're witnessing with this Epstein situation is such a massive thing that they couldn't stop it. You know, it has that feeling of a revelatory situation. And so all the psyops we're witnessing, kind of like Trump being like, oh, you're still talking about that loser? What are you, stupid? Like, that's the psyop. That's the manipulation. And so I don't know where it's going. I don't know which elements are absolute facts and which are lies. I'm not behind that curtain, but from what I'm witnessing, we're just seeing a lot of, you know, bending and twisting around these black hole centers of narcissistic King Lear personalities. And that's why I always just recommend people stay focused on what they can control, what they love, their local environment. And that isn't running away. That isn't idealistic. It's a survival mechanism. And I think that, you know, even just planting a small amount of just having a small garden, it will give you that feeling of empowerment and that connection to the actual divine that will help you get through anything.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you. It just doesn't really have the feel of something that they're scripting. It doesn't seem to be pure theater.
Yeah. No, it feels like improv. Because in comedy, when you're doing improv, it's called yes and. Where if you said something, the other person has to go with it no matter what. It's like you're reacting. It's not like some of these things in the past, you'd see these well thought out scripts where this is this character and this is blah, blah, blah. This feels very reactive. And I think that what we're witnessing is just almost like a satanic, improv group, you know?
The thing that's so striking to me is that typically, as you know, they seem to enjoy it, like they're mocking us, but it doesn't seem to me that they're deriving any kind of enjoyment at all from this. They seem to be miserable.
Yeah. It's almost like they're the ones being mocked this round. There's a hierarchy of mockery. And eventually it is the sellouts that get the most mockery. And I think you're right on the money. And thanks for giving Alex that information. He's not here right now, but if he were, he'd go, thank you. That's very, very important information. Appreciate it. All right. So I'll get to the next fellow is named James. Hello, James. What's going down?
Yes. Hello. How are you? I'll make it kind of brief, but I just wanted to point out something very quickly. For an idea for Alex, if you could pass it on the side of the hat, okay, on the side of the hat, he should have the American flag, and on the other side of the hat, he should have the Betsy Ross flag in order to commemorate our 250th Republican anniversary of the United States of America. One side, the small American patch on the side of the hat, and on the other side, the Betsy Ross flag for 1776. I just wanted to point that out, and I'll get to my point. Thank you for having me on your show. The thing is, Petraeus, about 15 years ago, was something to do with the army. He was a general in Afghanistan or some, okay. But nonetheless, his name always struck me funny. He replaced another general.
Petraeus.
Yeah, and then his name was Betrayus. He's going to lead us into victory and all this type of stuff. And what's his name? His name is Betrayus.
That's so true. I love that. Well done.
Yeah. You're welcome. But pass that on to Alex about the hat.
I will. Yeah, I like that idea about the hat.
Yeah, because to commemorate, one would be the Betsy Ross and the other one would be the United States of America now to commemorate our Republican anniversary of 250 years. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I love that. I love that putting that timeline in context. Like that's quite a feat. Thank you, James. Next up, we have Michael. What up, Michael?
Hey, Owen. How we doing today, brother?
Good, brother. How are you, man?
Good, man. Out in the woods hunting mushrooms, hunting some morel mushrooms in Ohio, and I was listening to the show. Yeah, I was listening to the show. You guys got them out there in Idaho?
Yes, I have a friend that helps me find morels. But like as far as mushrooms go, like the one that looks kind of like it, but is poisonous freaks me out so much that I have to get a lot better at it before I do it myself.
False morels will just make you have the shits. They won't hurt you too bad.
Really?
They won't kill you. But no, there's a lot of good mushrooms in Ohio. But I was listening to the show while I'm out here walking, and I just got to say, you know, I believe in wizard magic. You're 100% on with that. But I feel like Trump's been in on this from the get-go. I feel like the attacks were planned. I feel like everything was staged. It's nothing but a WWE show to get us all enticed and behind the candidate. And it's like I told Harrison the other night, they build us up. They get all this hopium built up, and then they just pull the rug right out from under our feet, trying like crazy to get civil war in this country, whether they get it from the left or they get it from the right. And I feel like we got to start a new plan. This whole Democrat Republican Party is corrupted from the top down. Even in Ohio, I mean, like our local chairmans and stuff, it's a good old boys club. You know, we need to flood this system with independent candidates, and we need alternative media to get behind an independent candidate to where they stand a chance. I mean, we've seen what RFK did under the independent ticket. Trump was so scared that he was going to lose, he had to pull him into his administration.
Well, you got it right there. I mean, that's how you actually do change is you have to get people excited about something like what you're doing with mushrooms right now. It might sound crazy, but that's actually the way to do it. So to get these like kind of more scripted WWE type people to see you as, I wouldn't say a threat, more like competition, something that they have to deal with. It's all about productivity and not needing anything from them. Because when you need something from them and you're committed to their script, they don't have to think about you. The greasy wheel does get, does get the most attention. And as far as everyone being in on it, I wrestle with this all the time because I always wonder how much of it is consciously aware or are people like going with these scripts without even thinking about it. And I've been trying to figure that out for so many years. And because you're right, it looks like this vacuum cleaner of attention and loosh and just like these scripts to get us hooked. But like, on what level? And then you get into the spiritual realm and it's like, how many people are just kind of like, just going along with whatever character they've been assigned or are they fully aware of it? I don't know, man, but I think that you bring up some good points.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, of course, man. And enjoy those mushrooms. There's nothing better than those real fresh mushrooms. They're incredible. All right. Later, Michael. All right. Next up, we got Ryan. Ryan, what's up? You're live with a stand-in for Alex Jones.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's up, bro?
Oh, cool. Cool. How's it going, Owen? Yeah, I'm out here in Oregon.
Great.
So yeah.
Nice.
We're a beautiful day. So yeah, I was going to talk to you, I guess, a little bit about wizardry, and it just to an extent, maybe even touch on it in your book. It's kind of just like a hijacking of our own consciousness and an inversion of our consciousness to where it doesn't work unless we believe it works.
Exactly.
So yeah, and there's one book I think is pretty interesting. It's called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. And it just touches on essentially how we're all one thing that's connected. I'm trying to relate this into the rest of the topic. Maybe I'll be able to bring it back around. But yeah, it's all these ideas of spirituality. And as you were saying earlier about like a frequency thing, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm spacing out a little bit, man.
No. I'm on board because like I think that's how synchronicities can work. When you're like when you're operating at a similar frequency as someone else, things will just kind of like spontaneously happen to both of you in ways that I haven't. I don't have any other explanation except for just the concept of frequency.
Yeah, stream of consciousness and authenticity, as you were saying about. Where people will read you in a room when you're doing stand-up. It's authenticity and being honest with yourself and not just accepting something that's presented as a fact, but you don't know it for yourself through true science, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, exactly. No, authenticity is where it's at, because that's all we can do. We don't have perfect knowledge. So it's like, that's why I always say I might be wrong, but I'm not lying, because I'm not holding myself to the standard that I always have to be right, because that's not possible. So I'm just like, whatever I actually am, I try to stay coherent. Like, what I say, what I do, and what I think is all in line. And when you do that, like, you actually connect with other people, versus when you're trying to do that wizard manipulation, there's like a cut. It's like a break. And like in an electrical circuit, it would stop working at that point. And so, yeah, I went through the school hard knocks with that, with stand-up comedy. And oddly, it also is like the father with young kids, where if you're just kind of flowing with them, you just, everything works. But if you overthink it and you're always just, cause they're like little kids, they're just pure flow state, it doesn't work as well than when you're just totally yourself, you know? And so I think that whole realm is, we're going to learn more about it in the future, because I think that the lies aren't working like they used to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important for people to not be so jaded. And I think that that's why trauma is such a tool, because it makes you second guess yourself and your own intuition.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And it's like the jaded, like the physical element of that would be a callus. So like a physical trauma makes it so you don't feel as much. And the emotional stuff is the same way. But it's still a choice. It's like, if you choose not to be afraid of it, or if you choose forgiveness, and I think that's the real Christian message, is allowing forgiveness, you don't have to have that callus develop, you know, and you can just stay in the flow.
Absolutely. Yeah. I 100% agree with that. And that's what I was going along with the idea of frequencies. And so negative entities can't exist inside of when we're producing love and forgiveness.
Absolutely, my friend. It's great talking to you. Have fun in Oregon. We have JT Run Boston Bear. You're on the air. What is going on?
Hey, Owen. Good to talk to you, man. I just wanted to personally thank you for writing How to Slay a Wizard. I want to get the leather-bound version soon. Wanted to say hey to Cod and the Bears, and then just mention, with all the deceptions, it's like nowadays, right now, more people are waking up than ever, and there's less fear, and it's like the trolls don't have as much effect in the comments. It's just like, yeah, right, totally. You're just a troll. And it's just amazing what you're doing, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man. And that's 100%. I see that more and more. It's like what me and Alex were just talking about. I used to feel a lot more threatened by people lying about me. Like, I'd feel like I had to correct it. And now I see that people can see it. They're just like, oh, you're just a liar. Because like that's what happens in low trust societies, where the mechanism of lying starts percolating so that it doesn't work like it used to. And then you start getting high trust cultures emerging from that, except now we have a lot more knowledge about how it all works, so we won't be as tricked in the future, you know? And I'm extremely optimistic about the future. I just know that sometimes I have to talk about the horrors, because that's happening for a lot of people as well, and I don't want to sound too idealistic, you know?
No, absolutely. And you know, there's some high-end people waking up, like Stephen A. Young. He has a master's in physics and a PhD in nuclear theoretical physics. And he woke up to the earth not being a spinning, wobbling globe going around the sun, has a great YouTube channel. And just people in the medical world, just all worlds, people are waking up at the same time and connecting. And so just ignoring the trolls, don't give them your energy, don't get sucked into the chat, talk to people in real life. And I hope to make it to a festival and meet you, brother.
Amen, my friend. I'd love to meet you too. Yeah, that's going to be a Columbus weekend in the great state of Missouri, and we'll have a great time. Yeah, something really special happens at those bear fests. It's like when you're around a lot of authentic people, you just feel it. All right. Anyway, I think this is when I'm landing the plane. Great to talk to all you guys. I really enjoyed that a lot. Sounds like you're all crushing today. Ladle.tv, subscribe. It helps independent comedy and thought. You can also get How to Slay a Wizard wherever you get your books, like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. OwenBenjamin.com. It's been a pleasure. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Be fruitful and multiply.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it.
Step forward.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.